B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2-6. Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you. Television, telephone, radio. Let's go. He got the city on lock. And it ain't a question. Been on top a long time. And he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him. But never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fade away from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber recording. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk, Arthur Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Game day right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers, Atlanta Hawks, game 3. We'll try to preview it as much as we can for you. As we talked about yesterday, I like the Sixers in this spot. I think that Vegas likes them in this spot. The line is did go up to 1.5. And it came back down to 1.
Other way around.
That's the other way around. So it came down to 1. Went back up to 1.5. All right. So 1.5. That's good enough for me. I'm actually shocked that it opened at that price because, Atlanta's got a lot of stuff going for them at home. And, listen, here's the bottom line. The Hawks, I think, are a pretty good team. They are not ready to be a contending team. And so, in that perspective, you go, okay, the Sixers are going to win this series. And you look at game 3, they're coming off some momentum and then going to Atlanta with some confidence and a lot of scorned players, including Ben Simmons, who didn't get Defensive Player of the Year. We went all over this yesterday. I know a lot of people missed yesterday's show because they thought we were, the Phillies game was on. We weren't on radio. But we were going over the same things yesterday, why the Sixers have an edge here. And, I get... people on social media always try to get under my skin, and they go, well, you're a homer. And I laugh at that because nobody's ever accused me of being a homer. And if you have, you haven't been paying attention. I try to call it the way I see it. Now, would I like the Sixers to win? Certainly I would like the Sixers to win the series. It does a lot for everybody. But if I don't think the Sixers are going to win a particular game, I wouldn't be afraid to say it. I happen to really like them tonight. To the point where I would put a couple shekels on them, to be honest with you. I'm not advising you officially to do that because, I don't want to be responsible if it goes the other way. But I like the Sixers tonight. I like the energy. I think Shake Milton learned a little something in that last game. So hopefully he carries on that bench role where he can give him a couple buckets. And I think Ben Simmons is going to be much more aggressive offensively. I can't see him not being much more aggressive because they can't get away with putting lousy defenders on them. And that's what they really did. I mean, Gallinari, God bless him. He might be a relative, but he can't play you. And so, if Ben has Gallinari on him, I mean, first of all, the coach has to recognize that too and go, okay, let's exploit this here. And then you got to exploit Trae Young when he tries to defend. So I think Doc is savvy enough to understand how to attack the Atlanta Hawks tonight and get the Sixers that all-important, odd game win. You win the third game, all right, the series isn't over, but if you win an odd game, that puts you up. It gives you a monster edge in the series. So here we sit, and I want to know how Sixers fans are feeling. Sixers fans have been uncharacteristically scared of a bad team. Now, I can see you being scared of a really good team. And I'm not saying Atlanta's a bad team in that context. In the context of the Bucks, Nets, they're not that quality. So the fan base has to understand that the Sixers earned a number one seed, and that established them as the better team in this series. And you shouldn't be scared of the Sixers not beating the Atlanta Hawks. Are we all good with that? Are we all square?
I hope so. There's some poisoning out there from the national media and different things. I think people are looking for different inputs because Washington, the Washington series, and even with the loss, they won that series by like 70 points. And I think the thinking was just because you're better, you're going to automatically blow a team out. That doesn't happen that often in the playoffs. Even the Bucks, it looked Nets Bucks. It looks like, oh, the Nets got it all under control, blah, blah, blah. And then last night, it's an ugly game, it's a rock fight. And then the Bucks win the game in a close one. It's not that easy to blow out teams in the playoffs. It's just not. So just because these games aren't as comfortable as they were against Washington, who was far inferior, doesn't mean the Sixers aren't better and doesn't mean that the Sixers aren't going to take care of business. But I think that I do think there was a sense of, if it's not a blowout, it doesn't count to some fans. I don't understand that, but I think that that's out there. And just because the game was closer than they wanted it to be, it's as if the victories don't count. And right, that I don't care
about. Let's talk about the national media's perspective, because you touched on a really interesting thing here. What are your theories on why the national media... Because I think a lot of it is just a general anti-Philadelphia thing with national media people. And I don't really quite understand that part of it, why like the Sixers are the bad guy. And so everybody, when they pick, subconsciously is picking against the Sixers because there's an underlying reason there. It's like they want to pick against the Sixers. So what reasons other than carrying through this ridiculous thing about the process do national media people have for doing this?
I think that there's a few factors. The process stuff's there. The Philadelphia generic, let's just dump on Philadelphia thing. Trae Young taking the bow at Madison Square Garden, they've anointed him. And I'm not saying he's not a very good player, but in game two, you saw that Embiid took his 39-point level and carried it right over to 40 points. Trae took his 35 and 10, and he dipped. Because he's not on that level yet. Doesn't mean he won't get there. He's not, but they have crowned him a super duper star. So that's another thing. The NBA is the ultimate star driven league, and the media pushes their star. They have decided before the series started that the brightest star in the series was Trae Young. So now we must push that bright light. Even though Joel Embiid is clearly the brightest star, they decided, no, we're going to push this bright light that is him. And thus, with that, you have to then push the Hawks with it. And I think that plays a big role in it as well. The narrative is this young gun is now going to be the future of the league, blah-de-blah-de-blah, especially once Luka was out.
Yeah.
They really latched on to him, even though Donovan Mitchell's playing at a high level. And all these guys are, the one that they're talking about the most, Trae Young.
I get the certain reverence for the smaller player, too. People have an affection for the guard who can score in general. I get that because, you know, people look at it and go, well, he's almost my size. Mm-hmm. And they kind of can relate to that whole thing, right? But let's delve in, like, the process. And the people are looking at, oh, the Sixers got their players because they lost. The Sixers got their star players only because they lost. So that is now carrying over? Like, how come other teams can put together super teams? The Sixers did it through a draft process. There's really two ways you can do it. And yet the national media looks down on that side of it rather than anything else.
Because of a nickname. Calling it the process, I think, it was definitely a mistake. I thought it was a mistake at the time. Doing it, calling it a name as if it was somehow noble in a way. It's not noble. The reason I say it's not noble is because of bad management led to it. What I mean is having Iguodala and Bynum and an 8 seed is not a noble thing to do. And they treated it like it was a little bit noble. Also, Hinkie never speaking. So what happened is by Hinkie never speaking and just putting Brett Brown and just throwing him to the wolves, just like a lamb to the slaughter all the time, it allowed everyone else in the country, and they were doing it daily. Every time a Sixers lose 13 games in a row, the process is bad for the Bucks. So it allowed everyone else to define the narrative, and Hinkie never stepped up and spoke on his own behalf and put out the narrative. So for years on ESPN, for years on when they did, TNT would still talk about it. For years, every paper, when the Sixers would visit them, how this was a monstrosity, and there was no one on the Philadelphia side who could come forward and speak about why it wasn't. Because Hinkie's stayed in the basement the whole time. And that was another mistake of it. And we're paying for it now in how we're perceived.
All right. So it was the process that was the linchpin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I remember the old days. There was the Lakers and Boston were dominating the league. And the Sixers were kind of looked at, I don't know, they weren't hated. They were kind of loved. They were like this. People wanted the Sixers to break into that stranglehold with the Lakers and the Celtics.
And Iverson was also beloved.
Yeah.
So
he
going
was.
Through that.
And that, of course, that was a Doc beloved era.
Right.
I don't think Embiid is a great player, probably not universally loved.
He's not.
Like Shaq was. Like everybody loved Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves Trae Young because he's a little guy and he is. But nobody, like, not everybody loves Ben Simmons either. So the likability factor for the Sixers may play something into it.
It may, except Trae Young's is a little bit undeserved. Now, I love doing the bow at the Garden, but I love it. Love it. But certain athletes do something like that, and they're classless and this, that, and the other thing. He's getting a round off that if Embiid did that, if Embiid bows, goes up to Brooklyn, they go to the NBA final, and Embiid bows. There'll be half the country will love it, and the other half will say, yeah, I hope that guy loses in the finals. He's a punk. He's a this, that. Yet with Trey, it's a look at the little guy bowing. Yeah. It's so cute. So I don't
know. That's the nature of a little guy, you know? So with us today is Connor Thomas. He's been in the corner of your screen being quiet here. We've got some things to deal with Connor later today. Yeah, however, Connor is with us today. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
How you feeling about tonight?
Not as good as the last time I was with you guys.
Really?
We both had the double-digit win that ended up playing out with that 16-point victory.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm letting the line scare me a little bit. I think I'm letting Vegas play with my mind because that 1 to 1.5.
You think they should be favored by more?
I do.
A road team going to Atlanta against a really good home court team?
I don't know how much. Like, we haven't seen this Sixers team too much against a road disadvantage because of all the empty buildings all year.
We do have that data now. Home field has a huge advantage.
Yeah.
And yet still their favorite.
Yeah, I think they should be more. They don't have an answer for the big guy. Embiid just dropped 39 and 40 back-to-back. He shows no signs of slowing down, and it looks like they have an answer for Trey. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if I was looking at 3.5.
Hmm.
And it scares me a little bit.
This ambivalence is scaring me with you.
Yeah, and normally I'm a pretty optimistic guy.
Because I looked at the line when it first came out, I go, well, that's exactly telling you the Sixers win. That was my instinct in my looking at the line experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw it and immediately thought they're begging you to pick the Sixers, and they're trying to burn you.
See, Tyrone Connor has not been around long enough to really do the thesis on what the line speaks to you, right?
Yeah.
It takes a long. It's like being a vintner. It takes a really long time for you to discover what the exact formula is to optimize the taste.
Yeah.
So I think Connor's a little young to the line speaking to you thing.
Yeah, like for all the wavering on the money line, the highest it ever was anywhere, and that's only like one sports book in the country was -130 ever, and now look everywhere where it is now, -125 for the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Why? On the road against a team that lost 2 games at home.
Yeah, well,
and to me,
I feel good about it. I don't know how people feel about it. I'm sure there are a lot of people that feel like Connor, so we'll just proceed with the program. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It's a game day, so I want to hear from a lot of people today on what your feel is for Game 3, and a very important game for the Sixers here in their series against those Atlanta Hawks. Mike Missanelli Show, your calls are up next, and so many things to talk about today, including Poom Poom Pants for Connor Thomas. Yep, stay tuned.
Correct.
We're back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's the 2 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli Show. It's going to be a very active show today. I feel it in my bones. It's time for the Twitter poll, but the 2 o'clock hour, as always, is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, you can get your equipment, parts, and supplies for any one of your heating or cooling jobs at Ferguson's County locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. We've got Connor Thomas in today with this. Connor, the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, don't buy it out of a box. Go see Paul B. Moyer and Sons. They have it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, Connor, what is today's Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Today, our Twitter poll of the day is people can disagree on what Ben Simmons needs to do offensively to win. What will Ben Simmons do tonight versus the Hawks? Our two options, attack the rim more or remain hesitant to shoot. Right now, attack the rim's leading with 59%. Remain hesitant with 40% of the vote.
Well, this is very interesting. Thank you, Connor, that this is the Twitter poll for today, because during the break, I almost had my finger on the button to place a little faith in Ben Simmons.
Oh, yeah?
Now, first of all, you know, the great people at Bet Rivers or the Sugar House app.
Yeah.
The Sixers are minus -2.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
So a notch up to 2, at least the one betting site. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, Tyrone, I never do the foolish play. I never get sucked into the player, you know, the comp type of bet.
Yeah, I like those, but you don't like those
you
player
do,
prop
because
bets.
I just think it's like it's like spinning a wheel. You know, it's like guesswork. But I'm looking at this. As you know, I think Ben is going to have a really good game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Points, rebounds, and assists. You tell me if I should press the button on this.
Okay.
28.5 for Ben Simmons. The combined points, assists, rebounds. 28.5 is the over-under. Minus 105 is Ben on the under.
No, I like the over.
You like the over, which I do too.
Yeah, I like the over.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, because he's going to get you, let's say he gets you 8 rebounds.
The over is minus 105. So the over is the favorite,
yeah.
But at minus 105.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. That's good value to
you
me.
Like that bet? That's the one to pop now.
Yeah, that's a good one to me on the Bet Rivers. People should take advantage of it, download and take advantage of that because then at that point, if he gets 8-8, he only needs 13 points. And I think he's going to get more than 13 points.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think Embiid goes, I don't mean to say he's not going to play well. I don't know if he gets you another 40. I just don't know if you can just get 40 every night.
I get you. But I'm telling you, this Ben thing intrigues me, and I never go there. That's why I was almost ready to push the button. I go, wait, I don't do this.
And look at it like this. If he gets 19 like he did in game one, now he only needs 10 between rebounds and assists. That's death and taxes. That's a lock.
Okay, now let me throw this other one at you. Ben to get a double-double. You feeling that?
I am.
Plus 160.
I like it. I think he's going to get a double-double.
Plus 160 looks like too good of a price, does it not?
It does.
Bet 100 to win 160.
I feel good about that. I think he's going to get 10 rebounds. I do. They don't have anyone that can guard him.
Are you ready for the ultimate?
Okay. The triple-double?
The triple-dub. Would you put some money down? Ben plus 900.
Ooh.
I mean, that's worth a shot.
Yeah, that's great value.
That's total great value.
And he's always hovering around triple-double range as it is. To me, it's silly not to take a flyer.
You throw 50 on that. You can't, you know, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it was good. 50 gets you 450.
That's a 450 pay.
Yeah, that's nice. I'm going to bet that, actually.
Okay.
Just like I just bet the tennis. I did what I said I was going to do.
Bet tennis.
I told you I was going to do that.
Live tennis?
Uh-huh.
What, Djokovic playing right now?
Yeah, they're playing Nadal right now.
Djokovic, Nadal, how are you betting it? What are you betting? What are you betting? Points?
No, you just bet who's going to win the match.
Oh, well, who's winning now?
Nadal won the first set.
So you took Djokovic at a good price?
Yeah.
To come back?
Yeah,
That's not a bad play.
Yeah, why not?
All right, let's go to phones. Dennis in Springfield, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dennis.
Oh, good afternoon, fellas. I'm very confident about tonight. But to Tyrone's point about Trae Young or whatever his name is, it's not so much that he was anointed, and he was anointed. But the reason he was anointed was before these playoffs started, the national media, or at least the national media that I see on my TV and read in my newspapers or whatever, they all loved the Knicks. And they all picked the Knicks. So once the Hawks expose the Knicks and beat the Knicks, then it's got to be, wow, the Hawks must be way better than we thought.
That's a good theory. I think you're right on the butt with that, Dennis. Yeah, that's a pretty good call by you.
And I don't want to name anybody.
Yeah, they were scorned by their brilliance in buying into all of a sudden the Knicks turned into Willis Reed Knicks that they thought they were going to handle Atlanta Hawks.
Trust me, if the Cleveland Cavaliers were the 4 seed and the Hawks beat them, no big deal. And the other thing is, I mean, we keep hearing how you have to have 2 superstars, 3 superstars to go deep into the playoffs. The Hawks have 1.
Yeah.
They're
a nice team. They've got any team. You know what they remind me of? They remind me of the Bucks. They're good, and they spread the floor. They can make perimeter shots, but they're not quite good enough to actually win.
And I've only been watching basketball about 45 years, so I really don't know that much about it. But I try to put it in the simplest of terms. Each team gets a chance to score. Mm-hmm. If the Hawks score, and then the Sixers say, here, you have the ball, score again, and they do that 9 or 10 times in the first quarter, that's not good.
Yeah,
and it doesn't happen that often. And once a jump shooting team gets ahead of steam like that, them shots fall easy.
I hear you, Dennis. That's a good call on why all of a sudden the Hawks are the darling now because they conquered the Knicks. I get that angle of it, but I look at it like I'm looking at it logistically here. Can the Sixers do the same job defensively on Trae Young they did in Game 2? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he busts loose a little bit more than he did in Game 2. It is possible. But then I go, okay, is Kevin Huerter going to have that kind of game again? And I go, no. Collins looked like a completely different player from Game 1 to Game 2. So who carries them? Like Bogdanovich, another one. Like, he's a good player. Is he going to carry them? I don't think so.
No. Now, I think they'll get a little bit of boost from playing at home at first, early in the game. They'll get a little boost. They'll have a little jump in early in the game. Herter's not going to shoot 100% for the first 3 quarters. He shot 100% for the first 3 quarters.
He did. I mean, and he surprised me. But again, I can't look at that guy. He's going to do that every game.
No. Young, I think, will be somewhere in between Game 1 and Game 2. Not as good as he was in Game 1. Better than he was in Game 2 at home. Yeah, he could probably do that. We know what Capella is. People get fawn over him. Catching the alley-oop is not hard. He's not that impressive of a player. He's just a guy, Capella. It'll be close, but I don't think those guys will make enough shots, and especially when they go to that bench. If Ben Simmons does not attack those Euros that they put on him, because that's a little disrespectful to me.
Yeah.
like Embiid took it as disrespect. He was getting into Gallinari, trying to put Gallinari into the floor. Like, Ben has to take when they put Gallinari or any Euro on him as disrespect.
I agree.
He didn't take it as disrespect in Game 2. Like, these Euros can't guard you, man. They can't guard it. Euros don't play defense. I mean, they don't.
Euro John. I expect a tweet from him any time now.
I'm still waiting. Outside of Andre Kirilenko.
It's a really good... a good call on you. The Euros don't play defense.
They can shoot it and all that stuff. And this isn't like a race thing because there are American Caucasian players that play tons of defense. It's the Euro that does not like playing defense.
The Euro style is they can get away without playing defense.
Right.
So they come over here as a different ball game speed-wise.
Mm-hmm. And just make those guys defend, and I think that'll play also a role. And it's probably while Huerter was getting his on Curry was also getting his on the other end. So if Curry can keep getting his, which he can, if Huerter misses a couple times, now he becomes unplayable because he also can't stay in front of Curry. He couldn't all the whole game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm feeling okay about this. I'm just trying to figure out which bets I want to make. Now I'm hooked in it. I made a mistake of going into those player comps. I never do that.
Well, you know. I think they're good. They send out. You know, you got, you know,
how you like
they have bonus play. You know, they got a lot of those are bonuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, they boost them, those bets.
All right, now, how do you like the, first of all, here's a Trae Young comp.
All right.
Trae, in that combined points, rebounds, assists.
What do they have, man?
What would you set the over-under at?
35? 40.5.
That means he's going to score a lot.
Well, if he has 10 assists.
He's not going to get 10 assists.
Well, he had 10 assists game one.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right. I think he's good. That tells me like a 30-point game probably.
Yeah. I actually think
the favorite is over, by the way.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think he's going to have a better game, but he can have 28, 10, and 4 rebounds, and that's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28, 10, and 3 rebounds, and it's over.
All right. Let's go. JB in Eagleville. What's up, JB? JB.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, JB.
How you doing?
What's up?
Hold on a second. Let me turn this off. Volume off. Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Go ahead.
The game tonight, I lost my train of thought.
JB, what's going on with you, man? The Sixers are playing tonight. You had some kind of angle that you wanted to talk about. What was the angle? Let's go real slow.
It was about how many games they won 13 in a row at home.
Yeah,
but how many teams were good that they beat?
Look that up for you right now as we speak.
Okay.
So your point is what?
I think tonight's game and that streak.
Are they on a streak of 13 in a row right now? Oh, okay. They are on that streak right now. All right. So, let me get it for you here. I think they had a couple of good games in there.
Just end it, and then you throw more doubt in their face.
All right. You all right today, JB? Okay. What's going on? What's going on? That's all right. I call you off guard.
Yeah, my little dog got out. I got a little mutt like yours, I guess.
Well, I don't have a mutt, man.
Well, I got a little shit
too. You got shit
too?
Yorkie
Black.
Oh,
Yorkie? Little Leo.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's my German Shepherd.
Okay. I got you, buddy. All right, well, you tend to that.
No. I just wanted to know. You guys look into that. I think it's a big thing tonight. Just win this game, end it. That'll throw doubt into them.
All right. Let me see. I got it. I got the last. I don't see 13 in a row for the Hawks.
Yeah, they were 13-0 at home.
At home, you're talking about when in the regular, not the playoffs, in the regular season. What their streak was?
They have won 13 in a row at home.
Okay. When did the season end? May 16?
I guess they beat the last opponents.
They lost.
Knicks.
Yeah. Okay. So at home, you're talking about they beat Miami, Milwaukee. Wait a minute. Sorry. Indiana, Orlando, Miami, Milwaukee. That's pretty good. Right?
Yeah.
Chicago, Portland, Phoenix.
Phoenix is good.
Pretty good, man. And then the last four, Washington, Orlando, Houston.
Let's end it tonight.
All right. That's you were hoping that they were bad teams.
No.
There were a couple good teams mixed in there. So let's see. Let's go far back here. The last game they lost at home was against the Bucks on April 15th.
So that's months. That's coming up on 2 months.
Yeah, so the streak was Indiana, Orlando, Miami, Milwaukee, Chicago, Portland, Phoenix, Washington, Orlando, Houston, and their playoffs wins.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so that's impressive. It's still impressive.
It is impressive, and that's part of the reason why it's significant that they're underdogs at home.
Yeah.
It's significant that they're underdogs at home because of how good they've been in that building.
Let's go to Joe. He's calling from somewhere in Pennsylvania. What's up, Joe?
Hey, here, Shemokin.
You're in Shemokin?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, what I want to talk about, I don't know if any of you seen the Bucks game yesterday or so.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, they were up by 20 or some points.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Sixers' first game, you know what I mean, at home, what they let go was that they were down by 30 or 40. You know, we're a veteran team. So in this first quarter, you know, their fans are going to be going wild and everything, and they may be hot and everything, but we can't be throwing the ball away like we did the first time and get down 20, 30 points.
Uh-huh.
We're a veteran team.
Yeah.
You know, so I hope we have some composure tonight, you know.
Yeah.
And in that first game, too, a reason we were down 20, 30 points just like that was that, you know, Trae Young was just going right down the center and making them little loops or passes.
Yeah, but they buckled down completely in game two and changed that whole
thing. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And, but they were just passing the ball back out, and then they were getting the open threes. So we better be on them. That, you know what I mean? Because you were talking about national TV and everything, and Charles Barkley said, well, I'm worried about my Sixers. He said, Joel's going to control the point, just like he did first game, second game. First game, he got his 40 points, and we still, how many did they score and we lose? You know, I'm looking at if we had a shooting contest against the Atlanta Hawks and shooting threes. And Danny Green's a big guy, not just Ben Simmons. His shooting's been off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got to get in.
Yeah, I agree with you. But see, here's the thing. They played really good defense. I had good defensive game plan on Trae Young. Now, what that does, if you're trying to push him to the right and you got another defender coming to impede it, whatever he does, you're going to leave somebody open. So they've got to make sure they recover quickly enough. But they're going to give up some threes because of that. Chasing them.
I understand that, and I want that. The first game, but it was like they were shooting a foul shot. They could take their time and everything. The second game, they were on them, and you know, they were contested shots.
Yeah. Well,
that's what we got to do, and no turnovers, really and truly. And then we have guys that can drive to the basket, Tobias, Ben, and Embiid, you know, in the paint,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just not throw the ball over and be composed.
Okay, you got it, buddy. Shmokin'. A little Shmokin' X and Owen.
Yeah, I guess. Sort of.
You know, they know how to play him, all right? It's not going to be a mystery. Like, game one, they didn't know how to play him. But, you know, coaching staff learned this is how we have to play him. Now, two things have to happen. You have to make sure that they're not going to make as many open shots that they did in game one. Or you're going to have to, like, scramble a little harder and chase down those open threes and do it as best you can. But anybody who's a shooter who has an open three is a threat to hurt you unless they're not making them.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. If they're making them, there's nothing you can do about that.
Right. And you still, because he's their best player, you still have to try to control him. And if other guys beat you, then so be it.
Yeah.
If you lose because Herter's hot again, you'll still rather that than let Trae go nuts. So
yeah.
It's still number one to stop him and then make him make that pass.
Or Bogdanovich. You know, that kid's got spunk. He's like one of those Euros that doesn't seem to be afraid of the moment. Like
yeah.
He's got a little spunk to him that way.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, a little grit and a little showmanship.
Yeah, the shush in the crowd and game
one
and everything.
Yeah, like he's got, you know, you rarely see a Euro that has that kind of spunk.
Yeah, he wasn't very good in game two.
No, he missed a lot of shots.
Yeah, he wasn't.
I like his stroke, though.
Yeah, no, he can shoot the basketball. Yeah, he can shoot the ball. It's just he also has trouble staying in front of people at times, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he can shoot the ball. He'll probably be better. They played him 40 minutes.
Yeah, a lot of minutes.
They paid him 40 minutes.
A lot of minutes.
They played Herter 36 minutes. That's another thing. I'm interested. They get an extra day. Over the long haul, can you play Herter and those guys 40 minutes a night?
That's a really good question. We brought up that 36 for Herter. I don't know how many times he's played 36 all year.
Yeah, like had an extra day to recover,
yeah.
And then he'll get an extra day again. But it still wears on you over a series because the Sixers are bigger physically. Physically
yeah.
more
hard. By the way, he doesn't count as the pure Euro.
Who?
Herter.
No, he's not.
He went to Merrill.
Yeah, no, he's not. Bogdanovich right.
Bogdanovich
is. Herter, I don't count.
And Gallinari is.
Gallinari, pure Euro.
Yeah.
Pure from Italy straight to America.
Right.
Nothing in between and not a lick of defense in his life. Not once. Never even thought about it. And then they put Ben in the dunker spot. I'm like, if you don't punish this fool... This guy's just standing there and just not wanting to guard anybody. You see, he gets the switch on a B. He just arm rig, just bear hugs him.
I have a hard time criticizing my man, Gallinari.
All he's got is a mohawk. That's the only thing talking about him.
I have a hard time. Yeah, he means a lot to the country.
Yeah, and Herder, I think, is from America. Where's he from?
German.
Nah, he's from Albany.
He's from Albany. I thought he's German.
No. Mom and daddy might be German. He's from Albany.
Oh, really? Yeah, I thought he had some kind of German connection.
Nah, he's from apparently Albany. Let's see. He went to high school in Clifton Park, New York, in Albany. And then he was New York State's Mr. Basketball.
Oh, wow. Well, how about that? Then I stand corrected.
And then he moves on.
I thought
and goes
he had some kind of a German tint to him.
No, his parents.
His parents are German?
His parents are.
Your parents are from Germany?
No.
No?
They're also from New York.
His father played for Siena. What? Where did I get this German thing?
Yes, yeah, Pop did play for Siena College. Yeah.
Ah, all right.
Well, either way.
I got fleeced on that. I could have sworn he was from Germany and came here and went to college here.
You go far enough back, you'll find one.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
But the other two are straight Euros.
Yeah. All right. 610-632-0975. So today, Mark Jackson joins us at 3:30. He's always pumped up about what's coming. And Brian Westbrook, of course, from 3 to 4 today, joins the show. The Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
2:46, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, it's a day off for the Phils today, and it's a good thing. I hope JT is all rested for the 2-game Yankee series starting tomorrow, Saturday. You know, first of all, there's some good news for the Phillies in this series. Giancarlo Stanton will not play in the series. They're not going to use him in the outfield.
Yeah.
There's no DH because it's at the Phillies Park. So they'll miss Stanton, which is good.
Yeah, because he hit a couple bombs the other night.
Yeah. So it's Vinny V on Saturday, 4:05. I guess that's a nationally televised game. Maybe not. Versus Jameson Taillon. And then Nola goes on Sunday against Herman. But then, a road trip, Tyrone. The Dodgers for 3, at the Gabe Kaplers for 3.
And Gabe's having a good year managing, apparently, out there.
Yeah, they're pretty good team for not supposed to be a good team. So things are going right for him out there. So in that series, the Dodgers send Eflin out there first, then Wheeler. And then Howard. Now, Wednesday, Howard pitches against Kershaw. That's a 10-10 start. Hopefully, Howard can last till 10:40 in that game.
I don't expect him to.
So, watch the first half hour of that game if you want to see him.
So, you said Wednesday, right?
Yeah, that's Wednesday.
Right, so that's game 5 of the Sixers. Now, let's say the Sixers game, because it can go one of two ways. If Utah sweeps, that's an 8:30 game, which is annoying.
Uh-huh.
But if the Clippers win a game, that'll be a 7:30 start, which will mean they'll start like 7:50.
Mm-hmm.
The question will be, will he still be on the mound when the Sixers game is
prop.
Over?
That's an outstanding prop.
That's what I want to know.
Somebody should put that out there.
Yeah, because you're talking about 2.5 hours, so then it's 7:30, 8, around 10:30 or so, 10:45 or so is when the Sixers game 5 will likely end. Will he still be on the mound when the Sixers are done on Wednesday?
He's got an iPhone in his pocket, and he'll set the alarm to 10:40.
It's going to depend if he strikes out or grounds out.
Skip.
The arm, I don't know. I got him. God, I was throwing 97. All of a sudden, I can't throw 88. I don't know what happened.
We kid because we love. Six. The Phillies won two straight on walk-offs.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. Okay, let's go to Spider in South Philly. What's up, Spider?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, Spider?
How y'all feeling today?
Good.
Oh, man, I'm great. Listen, man, Tyrone, you are absolutely 100% correct. When Ben Simmons looked on the floor tonight and he looked at the people that standing in front of him, no matter who it is on that team, he should look and just laugh. I can take every last one of y'all to the basket. Every last one of nobody on that team can guard him if he faced up and do what he got to do. And don't worry about the national mouthpieces. They all going to have pie on their face when this series over with. I think they just say the Hawks just so they can have something to talk about. You know,
yeah, I think they pull that card. Man, like, look how smart I am. I'm going to pick the upset.
Mike, you asking them to put their money where their mouth is. I bet you they will hesitate. You're going to hear a lot.
I wonder if Chuck bet the Hawks. Chuck likes to throw a few shekels down. I wonder if he actually bet the Hawks.
He got money to spare, but I wonder how much he really did, though.
I've been trying to get with Chuck. I haven't been able to hook up with my man.
Well, hood him up and ask him if he want to bet some real money. Mike, I'll bet you he will not bet you any real money, man. I promise.
I don't know. He might because that's what he does, but, you know.
Well, he's foolish. You know, they say a fool of his money will soon be separated. I don't know, man.
They pay that dude like $10 million a commercial. I don't think his money's going to be separated.
He got more money to lose to you, Mike.
Yeah, all right.
Get them bets in, baby. That's easy money.
Yeah, I hear you.
To stop him, B, bro. They have
if he's got the mindset. Now, that's funny. Do you think he's going to have the mindset tonight?
Who, Ben?
Yes.
I'm hoping he does, man. I'm hoping he has the mindset every night to look out, look at the people in front of him and realize, y'all can't stop me from getting to the basket. I'd be wishing he had that mindset every night.
I do too. So why? Like, that's why it's so frustrating to me.
And I'm hoping the bench been in the gym shooting, taking jump shots. They ain't got to be worried about running no plays. You guys should be worried about hitting set shots, off the dribble shots, shots off the pass. They should have been in the gym the last 2 days working.
Yeah,
on
well, I get it. I think Danny Green has a breakthrough tonight.
Hey, I hope so. We might have a cork mod fighting tonight.
All right, Spidey, you got it.
Big bless.
I would say no.
Yeah, Corey Wells. I bet you he plays him.
You can't play him tonight.
I bet you he does.
All right, so
he's in love with the possibility that dude can make a three. He's in love with it. You've seen it all year. He won't even relent in the playoffs with this guy.
Well, because here's the problem now. You got Shake now. So when you come off with your four guys, you know it's going to be Howard, Shake, and Hill.
He always tries them.
He can't do that.
Always tries them. And then he'll get like, okay, so he tried him the last game. It was, you know, they didn't work out. Boom. He's got him out. But that's not going to stop him from trying him again. He's got that intoxicating thing that he loves.
I want to ask you something because it's happening over on social media, not on the air. There are people that think that the Twitter poll and asking what Ben will do tonight offensively. And we even said in the poll that people can disagree on what Ben Simmons needs to do. Because all week, the last couple days, since they had the extra day off, there are some fans that will email and call you, Mike, and say, Ben doesn't have to shoot. And then there's other fans who think Ben has to be more aggressive. We acknowledged that in the poll and then said, what do you think he will do? That there are some fans, and I say there's a dozen people saying that this is our version of running Ben Simmons out of town. How do you react to that?
Well, if you truly don't listen to me if you think that I'm running him out of town because you know I have great affection for the guy. I am not saying he's not going to shoot. Okay, I'm not asking him to shoot. I've never asked him to shoot because I know it's not going to happen, and it would be foolish for me to say he needs to shoot. He's not going to shoot it. So I don't know why is it so unclear when I say this. To make up for the fact he's not going to shoot it, then be ultra aggressive going to the basket. So the shots I'm looking for, when I look at the three total, it doesn't mean I'm saying shoot the ball, get your total up by shooting the jump shot. I know that's not going to happen. I'm saying get the head of steam going, get to the basket like I've seen many times before. That's what gets the shot total up because they're layup type shots and you're going to get fouled and go to the line. And then I hope to God you make the free throws. I can't count on him making the free throws. The only thing I can count on is that he gets more aggressive going to the basket. It's only one thing I want him to do.
That's unfair, Mike. Just as long as who
not
cares?
Not unfair.
That's unfair, Mike.
It's not unfair.
You're trying to run him out of because who cares what he does on offense? It's just about this is what these are the responses well, that we're getting
well,
from people.
That's foolish.
It's unfair.
People,
it's just
listen.
Right there.
You're fanboys then, because you can't then look at it objectively. If you think that he doesn't need to do more offensively, then you just like him and you're loath to any criticism for the guy. I don't play that game. No matter if I like a guy or not, if he's open to criticism, I give it.
I agree with you. I just wanted you to be able to address it since it was so unfair that we're asking
run
what the
him
heck
out of
what
does that mean, run him out of town? He's going to be allowed not to score? Ever? Is that what we're talking about?
What if Embiid has, like a lot of human beings, has a cold shooting night and he's not getting you 30 or 40? I don't want it to happen. I want him to keep on rolling. But what players sometimes have a bad night offensively. Will he then step up and recognize that and make up for it? Because it's only the defense only thing only works when your big man's getting you 40. If he gets you 22, then you might need somebody to go get you more points. It's a fair question to ask, I think.
It's like saying, Ryan Howard strikes out too much. You criticize him for that, right? While he was a productive player.
He's hitting 56
home
runs.
While he was still a productive offensive player, you picked on the fact that he couldn't do one thing, which was the slider, and he would swing and miss all the time. You let that, but now you let Ben go? Doesn't make any sense to me. 610-632-0975. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 610-622-0975. Couple lines are open. Good time to get in. 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Core Police Bakery and Deli. World-famous tomato pie. Hoagie party trays every bit as good. Oh, you know, I'd be remiss not to mention that today, Euro 2020 begins. Now, I know, Tyrone, you're a big soccer man. You follow the football.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, my soccer I've conferred with the soccer peeps over this.
Yeah.
My question to you is, can the upstart young English team defeat France?
No.
No?
I think
are you calling a France double-double?
It's not really saying much, though, because they're the favorite team.
Yeah.
Like, they're favorite.
Yeah, they are, but a lot of pressure, double-double, they're trying to, yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
It is, but these guys, I think, are kind of impervious to pressure. Uh-huh. They also got a guy back recently that wasn't on that squad, so the team has won, but they got a couple guys.
You're calling France out of the chute.
I mean, they're the favorites. I'm just saying that England can't, I don't think England can beat France.
Okay.
You always got to watch Germany.
Yeah.
You always got to watch Spain. And you got to watch Spain.
Yeah, well, how about Portugal with Benjamin Bratt from Law and Order?
Yes.
Ronaldo looks like him?
Yeah, he does.
Ronaldo looks like Benjamin Bratt.
He does. You do have to always watch them. France has been the most consistent team.
Yeah. Well, my people, how about Italy? Are you not feeling Italy?
I mean.
Yeah, they're always they're a little older.
Yeah, they
a couple 30-year-olds.
See, people should watch. It is high. If you're lukewarm, if you just don't like the sport, don't watch it. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, don't watch it. Mm-hmm. But if you're lukewarm on the sport,
I'll watch it.
I believe you should watch it because you'll see the highest level of play.
Oh, yeah, I'll watch it. I love that nationalistic fervor that goes into soccer.
Yeah. And then maybe then you'll come back and give the Union a chance. Once you watch some of that, you'll soak it in and give the Union a chance.
You know, my soccer people tell me if I'm looking for a sleeper,
mm-hmm.
don't sleep on Denmark.
Really? I mean, honestly, I have not watched much Denmark.
Do not sleep on Denmark. I'll just leave you with that.
Interesting.
All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. I hope they let him play tonight.
right? It would be nice if they stopped short of letting Gallinari ride around on Embiid like a backpack. I mean, I thought I'm not sure if that's going to be their plan. They know Embiid is the secret to our success, and I don't know how many big man fouls they have to give, but I got the feeling like toward the latter part of the game, they were going to start trying to beat him up, and obviously they pissed him off, got a tee.
Well, yeah, he pushed the guy. So
yeah, well,
it's because Gallinari started it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, they made the right call on that with double T.
But prior to that, I mean, if you watched Embiid, Gallinari was mashing them pretty good, and they weren't calling anything. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see much more of that.
The only thing I'm worried about is it letting in Atlanta, if they start out with Ben on Trae Young, how close they will call that early.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll set the tone for the whole thing.
Who are the officials? We know who the officials are tonight. It's kept under wraps. We don't know the officials. But that's the whole key. I mean, he's got to pick him up high, and then you do his best to steer him in certain directions where there's help defense that make him give up the ball, and then recover back to whoever that open shooter is going to be. Yeah,
right.
You know, it's a simple game plan defensively.
I mean, if they call him ticky-tack fouls, it definitely does not favor the Sixers.
No, I'd hate to see Ben get a couple early.
Yeah, that would take him out of the game.
Yeah, it would mess up my double-double bet, too. Yeah.
Yes, it would. Well, hopefully we'll get some efficiency.
How you feeling tonight, though, Greg? Are you feeling good about it? Or are you feeling skittish?
I think it's going to be close. I hope the Sixers can win.
You sound skittish. You sound very skittish.
Would I be surprised if Atlanta won? Not really.
No, that's no good. You're putting bad energy out there. That's bad energy out there in Bethlehem.
I'm just trying to be realistic.
Fortunately, Bethlehem's further away from Atlanta than Philadelphia. So it might not carry down that way.
Well, the officials have so much control over how the game goes.
Come on. I need some positivity from you, Greg. I can't take this mamby-pamby scaredness. Come on.
I'm positive that it'll be a good game.
My God. I could crack him.
No.
I could crack my man.
You had good game on it.
This guy's got a James in Germantown.
I got the ref.
Who are the refs tonight?
Zach Zarba, Kevin Scott, and Courtney Kirkland, the black guy. Been reffing for a long time.
Okay. How you feel about that?
Not great.
No?
I think one of them's the little guy. He got a little bit of a Napoleon complex.
Which one's that, Zarba?
I think so. If he's who I think he is, I think he's got a little bit of a Napoleon complex, and then he's the, I don't like that. I try not to play too much to who they are. I just know whether or not they're good or not. Zarba.
Zarba?
He's not a little guy, but he's
okay.
Yeah, he is a little guy. He's only like a little tall. Nah, he's not little, but he's annoying.
Yeah?
Not a Zarba fan.
Ty, you could see the Michael Jordan refs out there. You wouldn't be a fan of his.
Yeah, you see devil's faces when you look at refs.
Well, they're mostly, I mean, we've talked about this. Like, who wants to be a ref?
You hate them.
It's not a noble profession.
It's not a bad profession.
It's not noble.
Well, you travel, you know.
Okay, it's not noble.
Maybe it's not noble. What are they, knights?
You don't do anything to really help society. You just take. You don't give anything back, refs. Like, at times, this job is a take and a give back job.
It's a good way to stay in shape. You know, you lay down some law in the game.
Right there. So you want to lay down law but not actually be in any danger. Right there, that's not noble.
Was being a sports writer noble?
At times. It has moments when it is.
Kind of the same thing.
No. There's times when it is.
Yeah.
There's times where what a person does with sports can transcend. When we're just talking about sports, I don't think there's any necessary nobility to it. But there's times where what we do trying to transcends and goes larger. We don't pick the moments. The people pick the moments when it happens. With refs, there's no moment. where there's anything righteous about what they do.
So you would put being a pro official on a top five list of bad jobs?
Yeah. It's similar to like the parking authority people. Unless they're towing people like out of handicapped spots or like real things, like real stuff, like you're blocking an intersection, like that kind of stuff. All the rest of their job is just to make other people's lives worse. There's nothing noble about that job.
Well,
it's the same
thing. I get that, but see, without...
Same thing with refs.
No, without refs, the game would be a mess.
See, you say that, but
well,
I wonder.
Well, it would. No, it would. Call fouls for you when you're at the playground? Foul. Yeah,
it works on the playground.
No, well, I think
it would work
not
out.
Not always.
It
works on the playground.
Yeah.
It's not going to work in the NBA because there's a foul in every play.
Right.
And if you call, you go, well, stop crying. It would be a fight every 3 seconds.
I think you would be able, like, okay, if there were fights allowed, not like in hockey... Like, I don't want that, but maybe then being a ref would have more nobility because you would be breaking up a physical fight. But instead, they just throw a tee up and walk away like I don't respect the profession. Them, I don't know why you want to work at the parking authority. It's just, to me, it's a job that happens to you. It's not a job you actually want to do.
Did you used to call a lot of fouls on the playground?
No.
No?
No, because, first of all, I would try to get you back. It would have to be as long as you played the ball, I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It was only the fouls in which you don't play the ball that would be a problem with me. And I would say whatever I needed to say to get under the person's skin. I have to allow for fouls that are going to come back after me after I say some heinous things to a guy who's bigger and older than me. I mean, heinous things. I'm going to say whatever I have to do to get into the person's head. It might be easy, it might be hard. If it's hard, I'm going to say some really bad things. So I got to be willing to take a hard foul after that. I talked about your house and your mama and your house and your daddy and your sister and your clothes and your girlfriend. Like,
you're earning those fouls.
Yeah,
I got to take
a hard foul after saying all that.
I never call fouls in playground games because I never got fouled.
Well, you're on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Well, you got to drive to the basket sometimes. You got to be a good teammate.
Well, I drove to the basket. It was always a floater. I'm playing against guys who can block my shot. I'm not stupid enough to go in, just take it to, I knew what my limitations were. So I did a little floater. I get there and shoot a floater. But the pump fake gave me open shots all the time. Weren't even near me. It just would fly by and I just clear shot. I didn't have to call fouls.
At our court, if somebody goes on a flyby, they're kicking the leg out.
Well, I waited for them to land and then...
Look, as they fly by, they're kicking
the shooters going leg out to catch one.
The defender, it's not going to be... it was a tough place to play.
Zaza Pachulia type stuff.
Get close enough to me, put the leg out. I snapped to a spot. James in Germantown. James, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James.
First of all, I'd like to say hello to everybody. I enjoy the show. But I think the problem that Philadelphia has with Ben Simmons is that we see with just a little bit more effort and work, he can be great, not just good. Mm-hmm. And he would be the Sixers great. If he would take the double team off of Embiid, if he could shoot the 10 to 12 foot jump shot, and he would make the team better.
Yeah, I agree with you. But he's not, that conversation doesn't apply anymore right now. Because he's not going to take the 10 to 12 push-up shot. So, like, you got to, like, deal with what you have here. What you have is a guy who, if he's going to score, has to go to the basket.
It doesn't apply anymore.
Right? Yeah. James, you can't listen to your radio here.
Yeah, but
turn your radio off. You got your radio off?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
But then give me Lillard and McAuliffe, and we'll ship Ben out there.
What? Yeah, but James, you got to wait for that moment. You can't be thinking about that now. What you got to be thinking about is that he
on the championship.
You're trying to go too far here. He's not going to do what you want him to do now. But what he can do is get to the basket a little more aggressively, right? Am I right?
If we win a championship with him doing that, okay.
Forget about what's going to happen later. I'm talking about right now. In order for them to win a championship, he's going to have to do that one thing. And I'm not asking for a lot here. I'm not asking for the shot anymore. I never ask for the shot anymore because he's not going to shoot it.
Well, they won't win a championship unless he does shoot it.
Well, see, I disagree. Yeah, I disagree. I think if he can score... And then you worry about the shot next year. If he can score now, they can still win a championship.
But they're packing it down.
Correct.
No, something that listen, they've been packing it down against him for forever. Sometimes he takes the wherewithal to really get a head of steam, find a crack, and get to the basket. He didn't do that in the last game, but normally when he's got some kind of mindset, he does do that.
You're not going to beat the Nets with 6 points.
James, I don't know how to please you, man. I can't ask for stuff that's not going to happen anymore. I can't do it. I know what he's got to do. You might not think he's got to do it. I think he, in order to be a great player, he has to. But it's no sense talking about it now because he's not going to do it. So the only shot we have is for him to do what we've seen him do before. Go hard to the basket. Get fouled. Don't be afraid to go to the foul line. I trust you. You're not going to make them all. I get it. But I'll take my chances. You can make some.
It is peculiar how the varying degrees of people when it comes to Ben Simmons. You have some people to say it doesn't matter. Three shots will always be fine. When we know that Embiid's not going to get 40 all the time and three shots will not always be fine. Like, we know that for a fact.
Yeah.
Then you have the people like last caller who wants to trade him in the middle of a series. And all you're doing is trying to be in the middle and saying, you got to give the team a little bit more on offense because you know that's what you're going to need.
Yeah, but
that's all you're saying. That's all you're saying.
I'm looking at like what can be done and what's outlandish to ask
right.
for.
Right.
Because I know it's outlandish to ask for him to shoot. He's not.
Like Booney is a known Simmons hater.
Yes, he is.
But even he admitted that if Simmons is aggressive, he's fine with him as a hater. So even Booney has more wiggle room than these people who say, who cares if he takes three shots? The reason it matters is because your Embiid's not going to always get 40. That's as simple as what. And then you have other people who say, trade him right now, knowing that when he is aggressive, he's a very effective player that affects the game on both ends.
It seems like we can't really find a middle ground ever with him. No. But I think my middle ground is I just ask for what's possible. Like, for instance, like for an example I use, I know it was not possible for me to take the basket and try to dunk on somebody, right?
Well, you can get a layup.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
you know what you can do, what you can't do. So Ben knows that he's not going to shoot. We know that he's not going to shoot. But we also have seen him succeed without the shot when he's aggressive going to the basket, because that's money when he gets deep like that.
Right. And I don't need to skip to the Nets series. I believe that they're going to win this series. Part of the reason why they're going to win this series, at some point, mm-hmm. they're going to need Ben Simmons to score more.
Right.
I don't know if 40 points a night is actually sustainable in real life from the big guy.
Yeah.
So you're going to need him in this series to be more aggressive, to win a close game at some point in this series. We'll get to the Nets if the Nets get there, because now it's no longer a stone lock after last night's loss.
Correct.
They're still highly favored.
Yes.
I'm saying that it's no longer a lock. The Bucks at least made it a series mm-hmm. last night.
Yeah. All right. We have a break in a couple seconds. I think I want to bring this conversation back, but I was... I went to the drugstore today before I came in here to pick up some stuff. And there's a McDonald's right next to my drugstore. And I'm looking and there's a line of 10 cars in the drive-thru line. And it occurred to me that I would never wait that long in a drive-thru line. And so I would ask you both guys, what is your car line limit? Because I see 10, I go, it's not worth it, and I'll find another outlet. Like that, I'll go, and now it's Wawa. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, how many cars would dissuade you from going to that joint?
Well, I have to do different things for different places. Now, for like McDonald's or mm-hmm. Burger King or Wendy's, it's about four cars.
Four car limit.
And I'm out.
Yeah.
If you're going to Chick-fil-A, it's a different world over in Jersey. It's going to be a long wait. There's nothing you can do about it. So I have to build that in. That if I decide to go, now they do have the app now where you can order and they'll bring it to your spot. But I'm saying, let's say I didn't do that and I just showed up. I have to build in mentally that I'm going to have to be probably behind about 20 cars.
Hold on a second. You seriously would wait in a line of 20 cars?
I don't eat Chick-fil-A often. I'm saying that if I decide I want waffle fries because I ran 12 miles and I want to treat myself to waffle fries. I have to mentally prepare myself and eliminate to know it's going to be a long
wait. Waffle fries are worth 20 cars to you?
If I want them from Chick-fil-A, because there's no other way if you just go on a spur. There's never not a line at Chick-fil-A's in Jersey. Never not a line.
Well,
it's always a line. Right, Connor?
Yeah, Ty's right here. It's not just Jersey. I go to the one because I live in South Philly.
You see,
always a line, man.
I would never then go to a Chick-fil-A.
Fine.
Ever in my life go different, to a Chick-fil-A.
But you can't get anything like it.
That's what I'm saying.
Everything else is burgers.
Man, listen, man.
It's a standalone place that's just different. Yeah. A milkshake. They have a different level of milkshake than the McDonald's. Their milkshake is the best milkshake.
Come on, man. 20 cars.
I'm telling you. That I'm being 25, realistic.
30.
That's what I'm saying. I'm being realistic.
No tolerance for that. So, in a regular, Connor, in a regular joint, what's your car limit?
I'd probably go like 7 or 8. I'm pretty patient. Yeah. I can wait. If I'm craving something, I got it. Yeah, I'm good with waiting.
No way I can wait.
Well,
I'm a 4-car limit, my man. And I got to be honest with you, maybe sometimes even 4. I can't.
Well, I'm in the car. I'm sitting there. I got air conditioning. Yeah, I got something to listen to.
That goes with a car wash, too. It's the same. The same thing applies to a car wash. I can't. Like, if there's 6 cars, I'm out. Another day. I'll stay dirty for another day.
No, but if you have to do something, if you've got a craving for something, you got
to
eat it.
I can't subject myself to that kind of a weight.
It's like traffic. Just chalk it up to traffic.
In traffic, you got to get a place. You can choose not to wait in this line. You can't choose traffic.
Yeah,
you got to eat somewhere.
That's what I'm saying. So,
Man, 20 cars.
It's a different. But now they have the app, so where you can schedule. Yeah, you almost do it like you're picking up pizza. Like you schedule it, and then you go park in the spot, and then they'll bring it to you.
If you're trying to get stuff for lunch, like how could you wait a 10-car line? Like at that point, you go, I got to get something quicker. So there's always an option to get something quicker.
Yeah, but like if I want it, I want it.
Yeah,
I had to wait a long line. I remember I was working in New York. I had ran 13 miles, and I wanted to treat myself. So I stood in the one in Manhattan where there's always a line. It was about 1,000 people I stood behind. There's no drive through, obviously. Stood behind 1,000 people for the waffle, fry, and lemonade.
Yeah, see that? I'm out. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. Mark Jackson is up next. We'll talk about the ball game tonight with Mark after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30, Mike Missinelli Show, 3:30, the Twitter poll update, first one of the day, is brought to you by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Connor Thomas in today with the Twitter poll. Connor, what do you got?
Thanks, Mike. Again, our Twitter poll today is people can disagree on what Ben Simmons needs to do offensively to win. What will Ben do tonight first? The Hawks, just over 600 votes on this one right now, leading the way with 66% of the vote is attack the rim more. And in second place is 34% of the vote remain hesitant to shoot.
All righty. Sounds good. All right. Let's bring in the ace for this segment. And, of course, you see him on pregame and postgame and halftime for NBC Sports Philadelphia 76er coverage. He is the great Mark Jackson joining us on the Comcast Business Line. Hello, Mark.
How are you, Mike? How's everything, buddy?
Everything is good. Now, this is a big one tonight. Since we just had the Twitter poll on Ben Simmons, how you feeling about tonight? What's he give you tonight?
Hey, man, I like Ben. I like this team, period. I think Ben gives us what we need, and that's anything to help us win.
Oh, come on, Mark. Come on, I need more specific info than that. Now he had 3 shots in the last game. Does he get more aggressive offensively? Do they need him to get more aggressive offensively?
I think they always need a guy to be aggressive, man. And I think Ben's the one that's the primary ball handler. And when Ben is aggressive, the thing seems to move freely for not just him, but for everyone else. And I think Ben picks and chooses. You know, if a team needs scoring today, I give it to him. We don't, then I'm good. But I think tonight is one of the nights he can have a big offensive game.
I actually agree with that. I think, and here I think he always seems to need this motivation. So motivation, a little resentment about not being defensive player of the year. He usually uses that to his advantage, right?
Absolutely. Any motivation is good motivation. And I'm quite sure we can find something out there snug of him not being this defensive player of the year because I think he deserved it.
All right, they're going to Atlanta now. Now they won 13 games in a row at home. They're a good team at home. What are the Sixers up against tonight?
They up against a good young team that has no remorse for human life, which means they don't care who they play. They don't care who you have on your team. They're just coming out there being young and being free, led by that point guard, Trae Young. And most importantly, they just shoot the crap out the ball. They got some guys that can really fill it up in three.
All right, so are you feeling good about this game tonight? Like, what will the Sixers have to do? Obviously, game two, a different defensive game plan on Trae Young. It worked pretty well. They still made some open shots, guys like Herter and the like. But what do they have to do tonight? Same defensive game plan?
Yes, I think they have found a way to see if that works. If not, they make little adjustments. But run that team off the three-point line. I think they did a wonderful job in game two running off the three-point line and making them have to finish at the rim in mid-range. And they seem to struggle with that a little bit. They found some spots in the third and fourth quarter where they can find some open gaps to hit some open threes. But when you make this team put it on the floor and make them try to create when the ball's out of Trae Young's hand, it seems to be a little uncomfortable for them.
You've obviously played this game a long time, analyzed the game. Both times, even though they won game one, the Atlanta Hawks really couldn't close that game out very well. Game two, they made a run and then hit a wall. What does that tell you about what they are right now, the Hawks?
I think really that they just rely on the three ball a little bit too much. I don't really believe they have too many guys other than Trae that can really create off the bounce and get in the lane and create some easy ones around the rim. And I think that's where they struggle. But if you leave them open, they definitely going to hit some shots. But when you make all of them put that ball on the floor and create and talk over other people, they seem to be uncomfortable with that. And I think that's the only piece they're missing is maybe one guy that can get to that mid-range or get to that rim and finish over and through people.
All right, now the Sixers are going to have to make some shots. Danny Green has not made some shots. Curry has. Are you feeling Danny Green tonight?
I am. And Danny, he doesn't shoot well for three games in a row. I just like last game, he came out with confidence in shooting. And I think that's going to keep playing a major factor. I said all year, for Danny and Seth to continue to have good games together, that seems to be the big knock. They don't seem to both flow at the same time. It's like his turn, my turn, his turn, my turn. Hopefully tonight can be the night they can start a new trend where they both can get off.
I like it. Now let's look at the bench because the Sixers, well, they won the game because Joel dominated, but also they got a lift from a guy that nobody thought they would get a lift from. So and Doc was like, scramble, 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 try this guy. All of a sudden he hit on one, and it was Shake Milton. What do you make of this? And do you expect that he got that the heavy weight off his back?
I think Doc's going to reach and see who can give him what at any given time. I don't think he has a specific name in mind. I just think he plays people accordingly and see what you got. Give him a couple of minutes to play in the game, see who seems to be on it, who seems to not be on it, and go from there. But I thought Shake has been consistent all year long off the bench. And it's unfortunate when playoffs come, Doc kind of messes with his minutes a little bit. When you mess with a guy's minutes, as he's been consistent for you all year, it throws his confidence off. And in this game, your confidence is everything. And you second-guess your shot, you second-guess your decisions, you get scared to shoot the ball. And once that starts happening, is no use for you on the floor because you're not going to play free and play your game.
But how does he feel about Shake now? Do you think he's earned, like Hill will come in before him, but does he look at Shake above Maxey right now?
You know, Mike, I don't know if he looks at him above Maxey. I just think he's going to go with whoever seems to have it flowing. He's going to get both of them early crack and see who has it going. Okay, you going? Okay, you going to play more. The other guy? Okay, come sit back next to me and we'll wait for next game. And that's how Doc seems to be playing it. He looks to see who goes the early hand off the bench, who seems to be contributing more at a quicker pace. And then he seems to ride that guy. The other guys, they seem to get a shorter stint out there.
Well, right, regarding the other playoff series, Milwaukee survives last night. What are you thinking of that series, those two? Originally I thought the Sixers would have a quick series. That series would be a long series, and now Milwaukee kind of got back into it. What do you make of that series going on?
I'm a little torn by that one. I think Nets' firepower is unbelievable, but I thought Milwaukee, with their cohesiveness, their multiple guys that can do different things, and just have a deeper bench of role players, I thought they were kind of, to me, I thought they would kind of have a slight edge. to see how the Nets beat them the first two games, it left me dumbfounded. I just scratched my head like, whoa, this Nets team is for real. And then Milwaukee squeezed out one less today, and that just made me even more confident, like they barely won, which makes me believe Nets is just really that darn good.
Oh, well, we'll get to that bridge. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right now, what are you feeling about this series and whether the Sixers survive? And if they do, how many games do you think?
You know, for me, I think that the Hawks played their best game in game one. Simultaneously with the Sixers having so many unforced errors with the turnovers that I thought it played perfectly into the Hawks' hands. And them not being able to create as many wide open threes in game two, and the Sixers turn the ball over 9 times, I believe, cut it down to almost more than half than game one. I think the Hawks didn't have no answers. And if the Sixers can limit their turnovers, which in the first game was actually self-forced errors, if they can limit their turnovers and continue to keep getting the Hawks off that 3-point line, I really don't see how the Hawks can win another game. Ooh. Now, with that being said, the Hawks have proven to me they're a legit team. But I just don't think this is the year they're ready to take that leap.
Awesome. I like it. I like sweeping the rest of the games here. All right, last question, because we've been talking about this. A majority of national people who have covered the NBA, follow the NBA, who opine on the NBA, seem not to give the Sixers the credit. And everybody, like, the fashionable pick is, well, Atlanta is going to win this. Even, you know, Charles and Shaquille and all those guys that favor Atlanta. What is it about, do you feel that, like, the Sixer team and Philadelphia teams in general get disrespected? And do you have a theory on it?
Well, I think when it comes to this, but first of all, Sixers always, Philadelphia has always been an underdog type of town. And they've always been disrespected. But I think when it comes to the Sixers, I think a lot rides on Joel Embiid. And when Joel went out with that injury, it kind of was a slight tear. I think people don't believe in Ben can carry us. And because they say, if Joel ain't healthy, and Ben is not going to give you consistent points per game, then they don't believe in the Sixers. I think people believe that the Sixers go as far as Joel Embiid can carry them. And I don't disagree, but I do disagree to this point that I think they have enough in Tobias and Ben to not be slighted. And when Joel was originally hurt, and then we didn't know if he was going to play or not, but then to see every media head, not from Philly, say that the Hawks were winning 5, the Hawks are winning 4, maybe even 6, I was like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But I heard it by so many other national media people that I was like, okay, this Hawks team, A, beat the Knicks in New York, and they think, okay, they're the next coming of God knows what. But that also showed me that they don't believe in the Sixers and believe in their staff of players. And I think it's up to the Sixers to use that as motivation to propel themselves and really demolish this team in 5 games.
I like it. Mark, always a pleasure, man, and we'll look forward to your commentary. Thanks, bud.
Looking forward to it, guys.
All right, there's Mark Jackson on the Comcast Business Hotline. Comcast Business, every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. How about Mark Jackson going, I'll see Atlanta winning another game.
Tell you what, though. You've mentioned it, though, in the beginning. You win this one, you might break the team's back. You go into that building, you win the game 3. They got to think about it the whole weekend. They go out to drown their sorrows in the nightlife of Atlanta. They come back Monday, not so fresh, and then they come back Wednesday and say, you know what? I think I'm good.
Well, explain this thing. Like, I never looked at Atlanta like a great home crowd type of city.
It's not, but they're good there.
So, yeah, they are good there.
The rappers have jumped in. Trey makes a difference. That's why they drafted Trey over Luka. They did that trade because they knew Trey, because of the shooting, was capable of this. Mm-hmm. And in a city like Atlanta, Trey moves the needle more. Having an African-American player, it flat out, I think it matters in a city like Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he moves people in a way that even Luka, as great as he is, and he's a better player, but he wouldn't move people the way in Atlanta, the way Trey does.
All right. Well, we'll see. What this crowd is tonight. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show continues after this quick break.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 346, Mike Mastelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. That's how you can get in. You know, I just got an email. Connor Thomas is with us today, and guy says, I'm looking at your guy, Connor Thomas. He reminds me of somebody. He's a combination of Andy Kaufman, Kevin Spacey, and Jeff Bezos.
That's an insult. That's three insults.
Yeah, I don't like any of those.
Connor.
Wow.
Connor does. I mean, he makes weird decisions, but he does all right with the ladies.
Yeah.
That
kind of handsome lad, handsome young lad.
He does. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Connor's doing all right.
Doing well for myself.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I need you to make better decisions, but we'll talk about that off the air. But none of those guys without money could do anything.
Yeah.
Bezos isn't getting women without billions of dollars. Kaufman, he's all a mess.
You're saying he looks like him.
Nah, I don't know.
He's
saying he's
an ugly guy.
It's a young Kevin Spacey picture he sent me. I don't know, frankly. But let's speak about Connor, since we're on the subject here.
Yeah.
So I didn't see this, but you alerted me that Connor had a questionable selection of shorts that you kind of look, if you remember the old AI Poom Poom Pants scandal.
Yeah.
With the shorty shorts. Mm-hmm. Connor was rocking the shorty shorts today, which is, it's a young style. You know, they're going shorter with the shorts now.
They are, but mm-hmm. the amount of thigh he showed, people thought maybe they'd have to send him home for being indecent.
He's going against the dress code a little bit.
Yeah, hey, with that much thigh out.
Summer, it's nice out.
You've been wearing shorts for a while now. There was still paleness with that amount of thigh you were showing.
Yeah, that was up
so
higher
you,
than
so
I got
wait a minute. Did Tyrone guilt you into changing the shorts?
No, I decided to change on my own. So the reason
you had a spare pair of shorts?
I went home in between the
shorts. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Gonna have like 2.5 hours, go home, get another shower and everything.
All right.
Get myself all prettied up for TV.
So I assume you'll never wear those shorts again in the office? Is that the
end? No, I might. I might wear them again. Just to, I like to rile the office up a little bit. I like to switch things up. Sometimes it's like a baseball dugout. Okay. We're coming in here every day. Sometimes you got to change up the morale. Yeah. You got to bring a little bit of a twist.
The youngins see what they do?
The other time he was wearing a shirt that was so tight that Kincaid and him thought he couldn't breathe, like it was cutting off his circulation.
Oh, hey, he's a unique man, this kid.
I mean,
good kid, this kid.
He seems like he's all right. Yeah. I need him to make a mm-hmm. little better decisions about the ladies. We've talked about some of the things.
Was he making bad decisions about the ladies? Oh, I see. This is a new chapter.
Yeah, see, he's young and single, and he's living his life. I believe that's still the status, right?
He's out in the streets. He's out in the streets.
He's in these streets.
Yeah.
But perhaps there's times where he was, because he's coming in early in the morning, right?
Yeah.
He's in the morning.
Right.
And let's say a hypothetical young lady's over.
Right.
Now he's stirring her early and kicking her up out the apartment early in the morning.
Because he doesn't trust her to be there?
Yeah. So if you don't trust her to be there, fine. Maybe she shouldn't be there. And you make sure she's going the night before. You get what I'm saying?
I don't like having to kick somebody out that early. This is where you're missing it. Because she had to be there the night before.
Right.
For reasons that he trusts, but doesn't trust the other part.
Right. So what I'm saying is,
there's nothing wrong with that if you're a youngin'.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Uh-huh.
But the way you kick her out in the morning, this is early in the morning.
What did he say? You gots to go?
Yeah, what did you say?
What did you say?
I mean, so what I do, the way to do it, you bring it up the night before. You let them know, hey, I've got to be up early. If you want to stay over, you're going to have to get up early. So you have to get up same time as me.
Okay, so did she then say, well, can I just stay and let myself out?
I've actually never had that. Everyone's been agreeable to it so far.
Huh.
Yeah, so I've been fine.
All right, well, listen, if you don't truly try, like, it's not a regular girlfriend. I don't have a problem with that. It's like risky business.
Yeah, but here's...
It's like the plot of risky business.
Right, but I... Don't let her stay.
I'm like, come on,
you got to go.
I disagree with you. I don't find anything wrong with that. First of all, it's not a regular girlfriend. Right, Connor? Like, right. You're just kind of... the merits of the girl in the evening may not be the same merits in the morning. You don't know if she's gonna take your Fabergé egg.
She likely would. But I don't like having Kleptos up in the house. Get out right after. Get out. I'm about to go to bed.
You want to stay over.
You don't That's know. Respectful. Like, the longer you date the girl, then you give her a little trust that she wouldn't steal it. And then, like, you know, maybe the fourth time down the road, you go, all right, you just let yourself out.
No. What I'm saying is that I'm saying, all right, we unwind. I'm about to take it down. Here's the Uber. So that I can sleep relaxed.
No, because then they think it will...
Now I got to wake you up. Get on the road. You're slowing me down.
No, then you have the whole issue.
What's sweet in the plot? Autograph ball from Derek Jeter? send her on her way with a fruit basket?
I'm like, saying.
Come on. Connor, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. I haven't had any complaints so far.
Yeah. You know, I normally... You give him cab fare, and then you got.
What's the new age? You can order cab fare.
Yeah, you give him cab fare on the way out.
What, you used to give him like the dollar change. Get yourself home. Cab fare. Here, come on.
Here's a $5 bill.
I feel like that's worse.
Well, that's back in the day.
Yeah,
man.
But that's less like that's worse.
The exchange of money.
I can tell you that I have never done that ever. Now, I've never had a job where I had to get up that early, go to work in the morning, which is probably why I never did it. But like, if you think about it, you don't trust somebody, you don't trust them.
Right. That's why I'm saying.
So you're saying if you don't trust somebody to stay over, to let themselves out, you shouldn't trust them the night before?
Yeah,
That's faulty thinking. You're going too far. You're putting them through the ringer that you don't have to yet.
Live a tough life. I run a tight ship.
That's too tight a ship.
Get on out of there.
Listen, if I can't trust you, you can't stay over. What?
You're restricting yourself
there. What kind of thing is that? You're thinking of one thing in the evening. You're not thinking ahead like that, are you?
Always.
I might be focused on other things at the time.
I don't like strangers in my house, period, honest with you.
We got Brian Westbrook coming on at 4. Well, let me get this straight. You bring the girl in. If you can't, it's quick. So you say, if I can't trust you to stay over, I got to get up early in the morning, so you can't stay over. That's what you would say.
Well, I wouldn't say in those words.
Well,
how else do you say it?
Well, yeah. How would you get her to leave at 11 o'clock at night?
I would say, well, you know, I got to get up early. I need to get some rest, and I'm sure you have something to do tomorrow. So, you know,
and then she goes, "What?" Here's the response: 9 times out of 10, oh, you're not gonna let me stay over?
I can't.
Why can't you?
I can't. I have to get up early, like I said.
Now you're raising too many questions.
You go too far, man. Brian, we're going to ask Brian that question.
Okay.
I'm sure Brian in the day.
From the B West day,
what his philosophy was, whether it was the same as yours.
All right.
Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock on the Mike Missinelli Show on a Friday. Game night. Sixers Hawks. 4 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. 4 o'clock on a Friday. Always a special time for everybody here and in the audience because the great number 36 joins us. Also brought to us by Landis Block. He is Brian Westbrook. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Mrs. Game Day.
It is Game Day. And we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the series is tied at 1-1. Mm-hmm. So first of all, your impressions of the 1-1 series and how the Sixers have played and what you expect tonight.
Well, quite honestly, I don't think the Sixers still have played their best game. I mean, I think they could be so much better than they played, of course, in game one when they got beat. But even winning, you know, by, you know, double digits last time, I think they can play better than that. And I think Ben could play better for sure. But as a team, they can play better. And listen, they took the Hawks' best shot game one. And they took it. They were close. They had an opportunity to win that game, but just couldn't pull it out. Now they have to do the same thing that they did in game two. And to me, it starts on the defensive end. They have to find a way to get the Hawks to not score 120 points. They got to be in that 100, right around the 100-point range, especially if Ben is not going to be the scorer that we all want him to be.
Firstly, your impressions of game one, we were shocked that they allowed Trae Young to just go wherever he wanted. Yeah. And I thought they were ill-prepared, actually, defensively. What did you think?
Well, they tried to have a slower, older guard try to, you know, keep Trae Young in front of him. And obviously Danny Green wasn't up to it at that point. And when you have that type of penetration, Mike, you're susceptible to the lobs. You're susceptible to the kickouts. And we're talking about kicking out to wide open three-pointers. And that's why they made 23-pointers in game one. You're talking about guys that are Euro guys that are making wide open shots. That's what they got in game one. Things were a little bit different in game two because you weren't getting the dribble drive by Trae Young in the kickouts. And that made all the difference in the world. So they go from 20 made threes in game one to 11 made threes in game two. That's a big difference right there.
I love that. Yeah, they allow Euro guys that say, shoot up a shot.
But don't you think that's their shot?
I mean, it is. Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly what their shot is. Set shot, you know, wide open and shoot. Uh-huh. That's what they do. And actually, when I listened to Mark Jackson, he was saying the same thing.
Yeah.
If you make them put the ball on the floor, dribble drive themselves, that's not their strong suit. And we actually had that a couple years ago when we had Saric and we had a couple of guys, the Euros.
Bellinelli.
It's the same exact thing. And their goal was to stand there and be able to shoot. If they had to be athletic and dribble drive, that wasn't their thing. And to me, when you look at game two, that's exactly what the Sixers did. Ran them off the three-point line, and they were able to win because.
Yeah, it was, I thought, a very complete defensive game plan early on that confused him. Ben on him and then pushing him into others. And it hurt them. Now, surprisingly, they made a run. They're better than I thought. They made a run. They showed some toughness. But in both games, Brian, this team has hit the wall. They almost collapsed in game one. They made a run in game two and then just collapsed in the fourth quarter. They're too young to win this series, in my opinion.
Well, I think they are, and they have a dominant player. Trae Young is a dominant player, but either way you look at it, to win these types of series, you have to have a dominant player like Joel Embiid, a guy that can get you 40 and just put a team on his back, you know, all over the course. But I think you're right when you talk about too young. They needed a couple more years of experience, and they almost seem like they're at a place where the Sixers were at a couple years ago where they have some really good pieces, but they still need another scorer, another guy that can consistently get them 20, 25 points a game. But they're not quite there yet. So to me, when I look at this game tonight, a lot's going to be determined early on in this game. How well Atlanta comes out shooting at home. We saw last night Milwaukee came out on fire at home in their first game. If Atlanta comes out on fire like that, it may be a long night. Defensively, we can step up early in the game. I think we got a chance to run away with this thing.
Yeah, I agree. Set a tone. Now, let's talk about the bench because they got rescued. And he tried guys. He had Maxey out there. He had Korkmaz out there. All of a sudden, he calls on Shake Milton. And boom. What did you make of all that?
Well, so game one, Maxey comes in, plays well. And you're thinking automatically it's going to be Maxey. The key to a veteran coach, he said, okay, Maxey doesn't have it tonight. What's next? And they had the ability to go to Shake. And listen, Shake's not going to be a great ball handler. He's not going to be a great defender. What he can do, and what we've seen all season long, and this is how you build your confidence in your players, is Doc has said all season long, just go in there and get buckets. And that's what he's been able to do. That's what he was asked to do in that game, game two. Go get buckets. That's what he knows. He can dribble drive. He can shoot from all over the place. So it was his natural role, and Doc gave him a chance. The one thing I loved about Doc is he didn't try to stick with Maxey and say, we're going to force this to happen. He switched it up. Okay, let's go to Shake. See what we can get some energy from there. And he just came in and did what he does best. So he played to his strength. He's did exactly what Doc asked him to do. And I think as fans, I don't know that we can expect that every single game, because there's going to be games where Maxey gets off. There's going to be games where Shake does his thing. And, you know, because we're one of those teams that still are trying to find themselves, especially with our second unit, we got to take what we get from either one of those guys. If it's Korkmaz, I guess we got to take for whatever we can get for him as well. But, you know, either one, I'm happy with that.
See, that's good and it's not good. Because and this is what I feared. Like, the exploratory process is still going on as far as the rotation goes, when the rotation needs to be buttoned down. So when they get to the next series, and I'll save that worry for the next series. But tonight, has Shake won the ability to be the second guy in beyond George Hill?
I think you give him a chance, but I still believe that why hasn't he? I mean, listen, he was hot. If he comes in again another game hot, then you leave him in, you allow him to play. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't Doc stay with a hot hand? It's just like, you know, in football, the running back rotation.
Doc confuses me sometimes when it comes to that, because all of a sudden, like, Korkmaz will pop off the bench early tonight.
Yeah, that's confusing to me as well. But when you mentioned about us and our second team still figuring themselves out, in my opinion, that's because Seth Curry probably shouldn't be a starter. Danny Green shouldn't be a starter. Those are the guys that would have solidified that second unit coming off the bench and know their role, and we can be consistent every single game with them. But because they're starters, now we have to go a little bit younger. Maxey, same thing with Shake Milton as far as not being as consistent. And that's the reason why, because you have two guys that, in my opinion, should be coming off the bench as your starters.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think about it, Tyron, he's the ninth guy at best, because, you know, you first use Thybul. Dwight Howard's a sub, and you're not going to sub him before George Hill. So,
right.
Like, he's the ninth guy that has to come in.
Well, there's no points with that second unit. If yeah. it's not from him, who's going
to score? Well, that's what I mean. Like, so the ninth guy, hopefully they're able to score. They don't need that offense, because he's not going to get in before those other three.
Unless.
Well, Thybul's coming in for defense. Howard's coming in for defense. Who's going to be that guy that's going to get you points? You always have to have a guy coming off the bench that's going to get you buckets.
Well, yeah. I can tell you what my adjustment would be. They only play Capella. They have Gallinari playing backup center half mm-hmm. the time. They only play Capella. I move Ben and Tobias together with the second unit. I have Ben as my small ball five. I take Dwight out. And what I go with is I then go with Hill, Thybul, and Shake.
Uh-huh.
And Howard will play less in the rest of this series.
Yeah, he might do that.
That's what I would do. I would go smaller.
You can afford to do that in this series.
And then just go get buckets. And then what I have then is I can switch everybody. Or defensively, I can basically switch, not perfectly, but I can switch a whole lot better with those guys. I would actually play less Howard, at least in the first half. Now, as you wear down, because he's such a brute, it actually paid off late in the game. It hasn't worked out in either game early having Howard out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the adjustment I would make. And I would have Shake with the first unit. With that first bench unit, and then Korkmaz wouldn't see the floor at all.
Yeah, wow.
At all. I can't.
Listen, you and I both can't. But I'm telling you that this guy likes to throw him in there in hopes that he gets something.
But the problem with the hope.
He did hit a three. He did hit a timely three in the last game, too.
Man, he threw up a couple of air balls. Man.
Yeah, the game one, he hit a three.
Last game, he was horrendous. He was minus 11 in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
He blew the game up when he's in the game. Like, I can't trust it.
Yeah.
For every 1 3 he makes, he'll give up another three, getting sucked in on defense, and then throws up air balls.
But Ty, when you're the number one seed, when you're a better team, and I think we're completely honest in saying that the Sixers are a better team.
Yeah.
Isn't round one and round two where you see a little bit better, where you can say, okay, we can use more guys in these rounds because we're just a better basketball team? And then we're gonna narrow down that lineup as we get to the third round.
Yeah, I think that's the ideal, but I don't think they know. So I think this is going to be like a continuing experiment, because they have no other choice but to make it a continuing experiment. If Shake comes in tonight and delivers like that, well, then he's earned some reliability, and then you go, okay, my 9-man rotation is this.
Mm-hmm. But how can we say that Doc has made so many good decisions, putting Shake in and leaving him in? Maxey, that first game, you know, played pretty decent. And then we say, okay, well, he just continues to make a bad decision. Maybe that's part of his plan just to see, though. I mean, why would we think?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good plan just to try to see. You know, it's desperate, really. You're just hoping that somebody comes through in that position. And I'm not blaming him, because that's probably the way he's got to play, because nobody has owned it.
Well, that is exactly the way that you have to play. You have to see who's going to be hot that night. You saw the first game, Maxey was hot. Second game, Milton was hot. And, of course, you're going to continue to put Korkmaz out there because we talk about Euro shooting threes. I mean, that's his game. Shoot the three. Stand up and shoot the three. And if he gets hot, you know, you're talking about 9-10 points right there in a hurry.
Don't even tease me this way.
Oh,
man.
Come on, Mike.
Why you got to do that?
Let the kid shoot.
Seriously.
That's what he's a shooter.
He's a hoister. He's a hoister. Sometimes they'll go in, and like 9 out of 10 times they won't go in. And Doc remembers the one that went in, and he keeps running them out there.
I believe you. I believe you. Speaking of a hoisting shots, I was listening earlier, and I could not. My kids are like, "Why are you laughing so hard?" I said, "Because Mike told me that his shot was the runner, the floater."
Yeah, I would shoot a floater. I would get into the paint area and shoot that little jump shot that Ben doesn't shoot. But I had to have space to get, you know, so I would get to a spot where I knew I had space.
That was your spot, huh?
Okay. Yeah.
You got some video of this?
Well, listen, man, I know you find it hard to believe. I was a precocious young basketball player, and I got diverted. Baseball diverted me, and my height diverted me.
Well, Mike, because I knew I wasn't going to go. Knew you.
What's that?
I ran into that guy that knew you, and he told me that you were one of the best athletes in his area. I was like,
I could fire.
Okay.
So I could fire, but I was smart about it. Like, I wasn't about to challenge dudes. Like, I played against good guy. You know, guys that could play, like, you know. So I knew that I couldn't do a lot of things that they could do. So I would make sure I got to a spot. I was quick enough to get to a spot and get off a little jumper.
That's John Stockton.
Or get to the spot and ball fake and get a flyby so I could shoot. That's what I did.
That's exactly.
I wasn't going to calm myself into thinking I was going to take it to the glass on somebody strong. You know,
you don't pull like Bruce Brown did last night.
Hold on, I got this.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Bro, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So Mike would have said, all right, I know my limitations. This is what I'm going to do.
Pass the ball. Yeah. That's not what you're there for.
Yeah, but see, like, you know, Brian, like you had a desire. Like, I was lazy. So basketball then became, like, baseball suited me more. Because basketball became what I had to really put in an effort to defend somebody.
Yeah.
And I did to a point. You know, I played, but I did to a point, but I knew I wasn't going to take that anywhere.
So you played like Korkmaz.
Well,
like, Korkmaz not going to really defend anybody. You were a euro.
No.
Ahead of your time. You're not going to play defense just like no euros play.
I wasn't, I didn't work hard enough at the game itself to really be great at. You know, I mean, I was going to play, I played on that. A team that lost the state title game. But what I'm saying is that baseball overtook, because baseball to me, I could, like, it fit my desire level.
And you know? Didn't have to be as athletic.
Yeah.
That's a big part.
Yeah.
Right. Also, for people out there that think that when we say Euro, I think it's clear. I'm trying to think the best way to say this. Rudy Gobert doesn't count. Schroeder for the Lakers. He doesn't count when we're saying Euro. That's the far as I'll go.
Schroeder's from Germany.
Yeah, he don't count.
Why doesn't he count?
He doesn't count.
He didn't play college basketball play
like
here.
Because he doesn't play like a Euro.
We're talking about more of a style, not just a
yeah, like but Nick Batum does not count as a Euro.
Wait a minute. So here's where you're going with this.
Well, I'm saying I'll just leave it there.
If you're a black Euro, you don't play like a Euro.
Yeah, basically.
That's what it is.
Now,
explain to me TLC.
TLC tries to, he can't shoot it a lick. He tries to dunk on you. That's what I'm saying. He's not a Euro. TLC also not a Euro. It doesn't count as a Euro.
But also no skill.
Well, that's different. But they called him
a bad Euro.
Yeah, right. He's just a bad Euro.
So a good Euro would be, well, you can put Batum in there as a good Euro.
But in his day, Batum was
a right,
good
player. Parker, Schroeder.
Tony Parker's not a Euro.
He's a Euro. Yes, he is.
But he's not really.
Why isn't he?
Because his father is. What I mean is he doesn't play the Euro game.
No, but he's
Tony
still.
Tony Parker was dribble he's driving, still, playing he's defense. He wasn't Euro. A Euro. They don't count. The only true Euros are the ones that shoot and don't play defense. We know who they are. Bellinelli was a Euro. Ilyasova is a Euro. Even Dirk, Euro, just the greatest Euro ever. Yeah. Man, Rudy Gobert, not a Euro. Neither is Schroeder. That's not a Euro. Just because you're from Europe doesn't make you a Euro. He's not a Euro. He's dribble drive and he's D'ing you up. That's not Euro. That's not the Euro game.
Hey, Tal, let me ask you a question. I'm thinking ahead. Are we going to get anything out of George Hill? I mean, are we past the George Hill thought process at this point? I really believe that he could be a stabilizer for that second unit, but I thought he could get us, 10, 12 points a game. Is he going to be able to do that?
That's going to be about the spot of shooting. He can, he shot 39% from three last year. We haven't really seen that, but he also has played a lot on the ball. By having Shake, you can maybe do pick and rolls with him and get him spotted up. I think
he's not the same George Hill.
No. As last season.
He's not. I think it's another year tacked on to him. So, yeah, I hear you, Brian. He seems to be a little timid, too. Maybe it's because he joined the team too late. He doesn't have that playoff mindset that I've seen him with other teams that where he could be a little bit of a killer.
I think something's coming. Just like
I hope
Shake,
so.
I think something's coming. A mirage from George Hill.
I hope so. So, all right. So now we are kind of broken away from this conversation. Brian, Tyrone, and you've been listening to him for a long time. Somebody just said he's the most rule-oriented, persnickety guy that I've ever heard. So you heard his rule there with, because Connor, who was sitting in with us today, dating women, and he has to go to work early, so he makes sure she leaves the house.
Of course, yeah.
I'm not an of course on that. Tyrone is a guy that says that she if you can't trust her to stay in the morning, you can't let her stay during the evening. Mm. And I think that's too far, because to me there could be a transition period where you appreciate the evening attributes of the woman, but you just don't trust her around your stuff in the morning.
Yeah.
So if we go way back in the B West, B West territory, did you have rules like this? Tyrone's a hard and fast rule man. Were you a rule man when it came to that?
Well, I had rules, but I was also no one was staying in the house when I wasn't there. Nobody was doing that.
Correct.
We had to be in a serious, serious relationship. And I think there's a big difference between hanging out for a night or two and dating, right?
So yes.
Dating, then I guess right. We kind of have a good feel for each other. And maybe I'll allow you to stay if we're dating. But if we're just hanging out for a night or two and we're just casual friends, no, you can't stay at the house. Now, I didn't have a problem with enjoying our evening and hanging out, and then you staying, and as I leave, you're gathering your things and you're leaving as well. Absolutely. But I had no problem saying, hey, what are you going to do next? What's the next activity you're going to do as we leave here? Because we're both leaving at the same time.
So you made it clear.
Yeah.
You're leaving at the same time.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what Connor did.
Yeah, exactly.
Tyrone is saying
that's fair.
You can't even go that, you can't let her stay if that's going to be the case in the morning.
Well, yeah, I mean,
see, that's something. Doesn't that go too far?
No, I think that goes way too far, because sometimes the night bleeds into the morning, and I can't put nobody out at 3 a.m. I can't do that.
He's saying you cut it off at 11. He's saying?
No. The night goes longer. Well, basically, what it is the pillow is for me.
You don't have more than one pillow?
I'm saying that any pillows are for me are trusted person. If I don't trust you, a pillow's not going to be involved in your stay.
Was she on the couch?
That was 11, 3, or 5 a.m.
I'm going to give you an equation. It is cold-blooded, but that's what Tyrone is. A cold-blooded. He's got no give. So here's my equation for this. Because I believe that the sleep time body wrap wins out over the risk of theft in the morning.
But Mike, you're not allowing them to stay when you're gone, are you?
I would allow her to leave at her leisure, but when she wakes up. And I have to wake up early.
We're in 2021. Connor's dating in 2021. Things are totally different now. And we're not just talking about theft. We're talking about taking pictures and all different types of crazy things these people are doing.
Yeah, that's right, Brian. You can't let them in there for three, four extra hours.
What are they going to take in your house?
I got a watch or two.
Well, you got hidden gold somewhere?
Yeah.
I
got all my money in the world under my mattress.
Well, do you have a baseball club?
Do you have a roommate?
I got two roommates.
So what are you going to do?
But they don't know her. They're going to be uncomfortable seeing a stranger in the house. So.
They can actually report to you on when she's leaving.
I'm not having them spy on the poor girl.
You're not being fair to the roommates. You don't want the roommates to wake up and have Sally from Sunday still at the house.
What's the problem with Sally walking through the living room with her stuff and leaving? Oh, why?
I don't know. It's a stranger to them. I might know her a little better.
Barely knows Sally.
I know her a little bit.
Just let the roommates leave her. Like that.
I don't know. That seems to be a checks and balances on whether she's going to take anything.
What if you're one of the roommates and you're meeting Sally at breakfast? What do you say?
Hi, how you doing? Yeah, I guess you're leaving now. Good meeting you.
They're not my security.
What's she going to do? Pull up a chair? Hang out.
Hey, you weren't going through my man's stuff, were you?
Exactly. Can you put your pockets. video games back and everything?
Hey, what you doing with that PlayStation? Going, taking it to your boyfriend?
That's their cottage, Jeff Bezos. He's going to take his wealth.
That's a good point.
PlayStation 2.
I need my games.
616-32-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get up there. Twitter poll 4:30 brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Connor Thomas with it. Cat Towner.
Thanks, Mike. Our Twitter poll of the day again. People can disagree on what Ben Simmons needs to do offensively to win. What will Ben do tonight versus the Hawks? Leading the way with 67% of the vote is still attack the rim more. And second place with 32% is remain hesitant to shoot.
Well, yeah. I'm telling you, I put a bet down today. I never do this. I do an individual prop. I never do that. But the Ben Simmons over under tonight for points, assists, and rebounds is, what was it, 28.5, Tyron?
Yeah.
28.5.
Yep. Would you go over?
Over.
I would go with that.
Over. Right?
I mean, 10-10-10. Yeah, we win.
Okay. Yeah, he won't go 10-10-10. I'm thinking he goes 18-8.
18-8 gets it done.
18-8 and 8.
That gets it done.
Or even less than 8. 18-8 and 7-6.
That gets it done, too.
Gets it done.
Yeah.
What happens to Ben, though? I mean, because when Joel's not there, he's much more aggressive. Does he say, okay, Joel's there, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to let him do his thing. I'm going to let him get his buckets and play the game the way that he wants to.
I don't know, man. Getting in that dude's head is probably
hard.
It probably is very difficult to circumvent. I don't know. Like three shots to me, you get three shots in a game, and you're Ben Simmons. There's something wrong with that.
It makes me think. You know, of course, when Joel is there, we know that's 30 points walking out the door, mm-hmm. right? So that's when Ben picks it up. But he has opportunities when Joel goes out early in the game. To be that guy, to go to the bucket. And, mm-hmm. and there are times that early in the game, he'll go to the bucket two times in a row to begin the game. Boom. And I'm saying to myself, okay, perfect. This is the type of Ben we want. If he gets 4-6 buckets per quarter, that's 20-24 points right there.
Yeah.
You know, but he can't consistently do it. And there's parts of me that feels like he gets bored and complacent in games because they keep giving the ball to Joel Embiid to get buckets
with
the
option he needs. It's possible. All those things are in play. I am enjoying a cup of coffee right now, Brian, and people at home can see. It's from Bean to Bean.
Okay.
That's B-E-A-N, the number 2, B-E-A-N. Now, Father's Day's coming up, right? Pops love a coffee, and they love a bourbon. So the people at Bean to Bean combined it. They have six-month-aged batch 88 bourbon whiskey coffee beans. And you can make, in fact, I got it right here. I got the box. It's a beautiful box here.
It's a nice looking box.
I'm putting it into TV. Bourbon whiskey coffee. So you grind this up. It's flavored with the bourbon. It's great coffee. And it's the perfect gift for Father's Day.
I like that.
Right? Don't forget, Dad, get him something to enjoy all week long. It's bourbon whiskey coffee at bean2bean.com. They have free next day delivery for everyone in Philadelphia. And not only that, National Bourbon Day is next week. So if you love bourbon, love coffee, then the new bourbon coffee beans, Brazilian beans aged 6 months in Kentucky bourbon barrels, roasted locally, delivered right to your door 7 days a week. Now that's fresh. Check it out. Free next day delivery, or you can get it at any DeBruno's location or online at bean2bean.com. All right, back to the phones. EJ in West Philly. EJ, what's up?
What's up, Mike?
What's popping, EJ?
I tell you what's popping, good brother. Big things is popping and little things is dropping and all that Atlanta talk is going to be stopping tonight, good brother. I'm telling you, I'm super confident, and I believe that the Embiid is unstoppable, and we proved that while we don't have an answer for Trae Young, we definitely have a way to slow him down. And, you know, Mike, first of all, I wanted to say, Ty, what you said about Trae Young was perfectly in effect, and it even goes better for you with what you're doing in radio. Brian Westbrook, you're probably the greatest player to come out of Villanova since Howie Long, and I don't know what I love most, the Giants run or the Minnesota screen pass in the playoffs. Thank you for everything you did. And good brother Connor, look like you're going to have a lot of problems keeping women off of you, because I'm watching one more video right now. It's so amazing to see the looks on y'all faces when the people give y'all the comments. Mike, your faces is golden, bro, because I'm watching you on video as I talk to you now, and it's funny to watch y'all facial expressions. It's hilarious, bro. It's hilarious. But as Mike, you know, for 25 years, I've been a mental health worker and psychologist. You know, I was good friends with AI. I partied a lot with these superstars. And I want to give you my psychological professional breakdown of Ben Simmons and what the problem is. Can okay. I do that?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Can I do that? Yep. Give me a second.
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, what people have to realize, he was delivered to us as a number one draft pick and a savior and a cornerstone of this franchise. That's how he was sold to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely frustrating to have a 6'10" athletic freak who is stronger, faster, and has more basketball skills than most of the small point guards who are guarding him. We do not care about your jump shot. All we need for you to do is go aggressively and strong to the basket 10 to 15 times a game. We are so frustrated with you driving to the basket, and because you are so afraid of getting fouled because you can't shoot a foul shot, you're 2 inches from the rim and kick it back out for a three-pointer. I just don't understand how people who defend Ben Simmons and call us haters for having these legitimate criticisms. We love his defensive ability. We marvel at his playmaking and passing. All we ask is when you have a 6'1" guard on, you take him to the basket. And why can't you do that? Especially when every time I go to a game, Mike, or every time I watch the highlights pregame, he's practicing free throws and he don't miss.
Yeah, and he's practicing jump shots too. Miss. Yeah, I hear you. EJ, that was very well delivered. Very well delivered. So, but you don't think they have a problem from this point on, right? In this series?
I'm going to say this. I need Meek Mills, Little Uzi Vert, and all the Philadelphia celebrities who have moved down south like the plague to step up in Atlanta tonight, like Quavo and all those other rappers to step up in Philadelphia. That's what I want first.
Is Meek down there? Tyrell, Meek moved to Atlanta?
No. No, Quavo and all those famous rappers were in Philly on Wednesday and Sunday and all in the front row with their jewelry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we need Meek Mills, Little Uzi Vert, Kevin Hart, and all the celebrities in Philadelphia who have houses and homes in Atlanta to step up tonight and show them the same love that was showed to us.
Listen, I like it. EJ, check it in. Those guys all have houses in Atlanta?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think he was one of the guys because there were a couple of rappers or celebrities.
Kevin Hart have a place in Atlanta?
No.
No, no, no. There were a couple of people that came up from Atlanta up to Philly. For
yeah, I know they did. So he's saying Meek's got to go down there tonight.
Yeah, he got to.
Well,
go
he
down
should. I mean, he should be riding shotgun with Michael Rubin.
Well, maybe Meek can just stay home.
Maybe Robert Kraft could go down with Michael Rubin.
Yeah,
they can pile up into new Bentley
if he would just
drive down there.
Stay home.
You're down on Meek right now?
Yeah.
Sorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the car stunt and everything, mm-hmm. maybe I would prefer if they would just he would just stay home.
How about the dude, the old white haired dude with the banner? You want him down there?
Oh no, he can go.
He can go?
Yeah, he's a fan. He can go. He's an actual fan.
He usually manages to grab one of those seats.
Well, he's a wealthy man.
Yeah.
He's done well.
He knows what to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Wesley, West Philly here on 97.5 Fanatic.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
What's up, Wesley?
Good. I want to play devil's advocate a little bit, right? Because mm-hmm. before the series, if you would have gave me like a percentage, I thought the Sixers would win, it was probably like 90-10.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like it's more like 60-40, right? When I say devil's advocate, if I'm looking at this objectively, like let's say you're not somebody from Philly, somebody from Atlanta. If I look at the first two games, playoff ball is different. If I look at the first two games, and Mike, you said this before, when you get a big lead, what tends to happen to the team with the big lead? They relax a little
bit. Yeah, they relax. The other team comes right at it.
Now, when it got to about six, they flat out started choking. But from 26 to six, they relax. And then I look at game two, and I'm like, huh, if this one dude off the bench who didn't play the last six games didn't score 15, they might be down 0-2 with Embiid averaging 40. So, yeah, I still think the Sixers are going to win, but I'm slightly nervous.
Well, listen, it's all right to be nervous, but like you got to look at this part of it. The Hawks were incapable of closing out a game. They just were. That's an indication of a team's age. You know, they like,
couldn't even get the ball.
Yeah, they hit a wall in game two. After they made the run, I go, wow, look at this. They're tougher than I thought. And then they just hit a wall, and the Sixers just took control. So, I mean, that's happened twice now. So I understand, like, their home court is going to be an advantage for them. But, you know, the same personality applies. The better team usually can close out better than the young upstart team.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But, you know, I'm thinking of the Bucks of just the last few years who just ran rapid.
I think Atlanta is a nice team. They're actually a nicer team than I thought. Mm-hmm. And they play well together. But, you know, there's something to be said. Like, you need a guy that can pull you out. You need a guy or two that can pull you out of jams. Once they got into a jam, they were done. And I'm talking about the jam, end of game jam. So, I'm not worried about the Sixers winning this series. I think they win tonight. I think it's a key win for them. All right, we'll take a break. It's a quick break. Oh, Magic Johnson came in. Right now he came in?
Yeah, about 2 minutes ago.
Magic Johnson now is the latest national guy to pick the Hawks to win. Just win the game tonight, not the series?
He's taking it all game to game. He didn't make any pick in the series.
He's taking Atlanta to win the game tonight.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4:46. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Ball game tonight. That's a good way to spend your Friday night. Yeah. You don't have to go out. You hang in. Have a little dinner. Have a couple of cocktails. Nestle in for a game. What's the Brian Westbrook weekend like?
Well, Sunday is my oldest daughter's birthday. So Bria's 8th birthday is on Sunday. So tomorrow.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, 8th birthday. She wants cash, which I'm like, what do you need cash for? Where do you think you're going? Yeah, you know, cash?
Uh-huh.
What?
You better ask for a toy or something like that.
So I don't know what the protocol is these days for parties or anything.
No party. She got a brother and sister. They have their party every doggone day. So they better go downstairs and enjoy all those toys that I bought. So we're going to take her to Legoland tomorrow.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Legoland will be fun.
Yeah, that ought to be fun. It's like it's not actually Legos, but it's more like an amusement park.
So yeah.
Take them to that and, you know, listen, give them cake and some ice cream and happy birthday.
Oh, well, good. Good for you.
Great day to me.
All right. Sounds good. All right. By the way, Tyrone, a little update on the 2020 Euro. Italy just pounding Furkan's country.
Oh, he's beating up on
Turkey. Oh, 3-0 the Italians over the Turks.
Yeah, that's a tough one for...
Man, tough way for Turkey to open.
Yeah, against Italy, a seasoned team.
Korkmaz usually ran to help him, but he's occupied currently.
Yeah, maybe he should try that sport.
Hey, dude, Turkoglu. Yeah, almost scored for Turkey.
He came up a little short, just like he did against the Lakers in the finals.
He hit it over the crossbar, unfortunately. All right, let's go, Bill, in Northeast Philly. Bill, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, Bill?
It's Phil. I actually called
Phil,
you.
Phil, what's up, Phil?
Yeah, I called you guys earlier this week after we went down 0-1 and basically said I really didn't trust the team.
Uh-huh.
We were untested.
Yep.
And now that, I mean, game two did show me that we are able to take a punch and fight back, which was encouraging to see. But, I mean, I'm still not fully sold. I want to see what we do tonight. And mainly not sold because of, number one, like you said, the whole Shake Milton thing, I think earlier this week kind of called it luck, which it is kind of luck, but it's still good that he did and we step up when we need him to. And number two, I still don't trust the roster. But other than that, I would like to see kind of what really happens down there.
Why wouldn't you, the roster accomplished something more than other teams did this year, right? They finished with the number one seed. I mean, you gotta at least allow for that. Their roster apparently was good enough to get the number one seed.
No. We're an adequate team. We're a good team. We're not elite in my eyes because of what Brian said. We got two bench guys starting basically for us and a bunch of other things. But,
yeah.
I mean, I respect us as a good team. I just want to see more. That's all. I just want to see more.
Yeah, okay. So if they win tonight, are you convinced they win the series?
Yes,
okay.
I am.
So tonight is the – you'll call back Monday and go, you know, I'm convinced now.
Unfortunately, yeah, I'll call back Monday.
Why unfortunately?
I still don't trust it. I don't trust. We're in the race for second. I don't trust the path to Nets, but I'll still get on board. I'll get on board for this series.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Your opinion is what your opinion
you
is.
You lose.
I don't good know day, what's going to happen in the Eastern Conference Finals either. No. I can't get a read really. But I don't have to right now. You know, I want to look at how this team progresses past this series. Now, if they lose tonight, which I would not expect, if they lose tonight, they're probably in trouble.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I think they just win on Monday.
Because you lose game three, and then you're playing catch-up, and then you have to square the series.
Yeah, you win Monday, Wednesday.
They're strong at home. I mean, you know, so they'll be 3-2 leaving Philly, right?
Yeah.
I guess even if they get it to a game seven, they can't, you know, lose a game seven here.
I think if they lost tonight, they still win in six.
Okay.
I think they win three straight games. I think tonight and the next two games they win.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that too. So, I'm just saying if they lose tonight, you know, losing an odd game puts you in an uphill climb. Nate in Southwest Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nate.
Hello, how you doing today, man?
What's up, Nate?
Hi. I was calling in and talking about the Sixers game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
In the series, I believe that we will beat these guys. I'm tired of hearing these Atlanta guys talk about basketball. They just now getting in the realm to talk about basketball. The Sixers been there. One thing that...
Dude, you gotta turn your radio off, Nate.
One thing that bugs me is that...
Nate. You gotta turn your radio off. I hear it in the background. It's messing you up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead. Well, I've always heard you, but I was hearing the feedback. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
The center that we had from North Carolina, why did we get rid of him?
Oh, no. Tyrone, play it. Tyrone, play it. Oh, Tony Bradley. Yeah, Tony would have made such a difference in this series. Oh, it was just a colossal mistake. Come on, man. Nate, come on. Come on with the Tony Bradley.
All right, moving forward.
All right, go ahead.
Hill, he's a veteran, and he do what he do.
But I believe that we would have been fine with Tony Bradley because we need him for B to get rest on that knee.
Yeah, you don't need Tony Bradley in this series.
Okay, well, that's my opinion.
You don't need Tony Bradley. Embiid is dominating. Like, what you needed every bit of Embiid dominating, so you couldn't afford to have Tony Bradley in there for Embiid. Come on.
But his knee is messed up, though.
What do you mean he's messed up? He's 39 and 40. What's messed up about him?
Okay, well, we need to rest him a little bit.
Well, you can't rest him in a series you're trying to win. Where are you going to rest him? You're going to lose the series?
Well, we're going to win because of the simple fact that every time we need someone to step up, they step up.
I'm glad that you feel that way. Now, you went astray with me with the Tony Bradley thing. That wasn't well thought out.
No. We don't need another reserve.
No, you don't need Tony Bradley. Come on.
You know.
Yeah, I thought that was gone for good. It's not, apparently.
And B gets you 40, Mike, and it's still not going out.
Yeah.
Now, Booney.
You need more rest with him. Yeah, so you only need 28 from him because you got to rest
him. Booney says that you're, for the first time, I've never heard this before. He thinks you're being too nice to the Tony Bradley callers. Booty is like, no one's ever said Mike Miss is too nice until today. Booty thinks you're not being harsh enough.
I said played in church with Tony Bradley. I tried to mock it as best I could.
He also doesn't think Ben's going to get 18. He thinks he's getting 11 or 12 tonight, so he's worried about the bet.
He's worried about the bet?
Yeah, because if he only gets 12, that means you got to still make up this.
8-8. 8-9.
Ben lulled him to sleep last game with his 4 points.
Right.
Now he's going to go
12.
Out and get you.
9 and 8 still gets it for me.
Yes, that does still get it.
12, 9, and 8. I think he's scoring more than 12.
I think so, too. I honestly do. I think they're going to shift the defense and they're going to try to double and be more aggressively, maybe sometimes without the ball. They have done that, certain teams, and left Ben completely open. Like, just say, Ben, do whatever. At that point, if no one's covering him, I do think he attacks. And I wouldn't be shocked if they go to those lengths to try to stop and beat because they can't do it with just Capella.
Ben gets you 15 tonight. I would put good money on that. He gets you 15 tonight.
All right. I like it. Meanwhile, Italy just closed them out. 3-0 Turkey. I feel sorry to those Turkey players.
Yeah, that's going to be the short stay.
Like, when they get home, it's worse.
No.
That's what I'm worried about. Forget the short stay. Come on, man.
I got you.
All right. Seriously. That prime minister don't play in Turkey.
No, he doesn't.
All right. Sorry. Brian, listen, man. You have a great weekend.
All right?
Thank you. And happy birthday to your little one.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Here he is, Brian Westbrook. Let's take a quick break. We got the 5 o'clock hour ahead on Mike Missinelli Show. Continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers game tonight. 5 o'clock hour, by the way. It's brought to you by Guida. Door and window. Buy any window or door. Get the second one at 50% off. Plus, you'll get interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, before we get back to the calls here, Tyrone, I talked to you about my buddy Matt Cappy, the trumpet player before.
Yes, he's excellent. Excellent.
Yes, and he's got a gig in Cape May. He's releasing his tomorrow, his album drops, second album. Drops. And so he's playing a gig in Cape May. But I was watching TV the other night, and I'm watching Dave Chappelle's Block Party. Have you seen that?
Yes.
When he did that block party in Bed-Stuy?
Yeah.
He did in Bed-Stuy. And Chappelle was the host. And all kinds of great. The Roots were there.
Erykah Badu, Mos Def.
Yeah. So at the end of it, I'm looking at Chappelle and he's on stage and he's joking with some of the musicians. And I look kind of like, that's my boy Matt. My boy Matt. This guy, he's got the trumpet in his hand. And remember Jeff Bradshaw, the trombone player that we had on the air?
Yeah.
They were both part of that traveling band in that Dave Chappelle concert. So I texted him. I go, I'm watching this thing on Stars. Is that you? It was like 2004. It was a young Matt.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, they did a concert during the pandemic.
Yeah, so he's a big listener to the show. And so I just wanted to if you like jazz trumpet, he's fantastic.
Yes.
And he's got his second album drop. It's called Tales of the Tape. In fact, I was in his first video.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, yeah. He filmed a video at a little jazz club in Philly. I was, you know, he comes in and gives me a high five.
That's pretty cool. Look at you.
That was nice. A video. All right. Let's get back to the phones. Mike in Roxborough. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, not too much. How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. I just had one quick question and then a follow-up point I wanted to make about the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was talking to my friends, and they said that they would not trade Ben Simmons for Giannis straight up with his play recently. And, you know, I would trade Giannis, you know, straight up. I wanted to see if you would do that or not and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, yeah. Cause I figured they were But so I think that, you know, the main thing the Sixers have to do is Ben Simmons just needs to stay aggressive. And if he keeps attacking the hole, the outside shots are going to open up even mm-hmm. more. And Danny Green, I think eventually, hopefully, will get in a rhythm. Seth Curry, I think he's really stepping up and finding his place in the NBA with the Sixers. And, you know, I think he hopefully will resign here at the end of his contract. I think we have him next year as well. But, you know, I would really like to see, you know, Ben Simmons step up and, you know, not only defensively, we know he should have been defensive player of the year, but, you know, we at least need him to put up, I think, 50 in a game at least if we're going to win a championship.
50?
15.
Oh, 15. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I like that. You know, it's an interesting question you ask because I can only think of, like, three guys that would definitely trade him for. And you're not going to get any of these guys because no team is going to trade that guy for Ben Simmons. But Milwaukee said, I'll trade you Giannis for Ben Simmons. I think most people would say yes. If Dallas called and said, I'll trade you Luka for Ben, I think most people would say yes. I think if Phoenix called and said, I'll trade you Devin Booker for Ben, I think most people would say yes. And then I got to think about it.
What about Damian Lillard?
Dame straight up, I probably would because they're close to winning. And if they don't win this year, I think Dame could be the guy that puts him over the top. So I'd probably go yes on that. One other guy, how about this? I mean, if I, Donovan Mitchell. Tyrone?
Recent play, I would say. Yeah.
He's Donovan Mitchell. Would you trade him for Ben?
Not. It's getting close.
It's close.
It's getting close.
What about Bradley Beal?
Beal. I'd probably say yes to that too.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're talking about a select group. Now there's no reason why anybody would trade except for maybe Portland, because they're in a position of, you know, no return right now. So they might consider that, but nobody else would consider trading those players that I just mentioned. You know? Phoenix has nothing. I mean, Portland has nothing to lose there.
Yeah, other than maybe not losing the first round. They've lost in the first round for four of the last five years.
So it really doesn't matter. I mean, they're looking to change things up anyway. So
and he could help them. No, I think Ben, a different profile of a team, have shooters around Ben.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of team.
Is there anybody else that comes to mind? If you like?
I'm not sure Washington wouldn't at some point call if he is nudging his way out.
So you would for Beal?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
So you have to think about Beal, you have to think about Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have to think about the other three I brought to you, right?
Nah, I can't. Yeah. It would be unfair, especially Luka obviously being the best one of them, because he would be the point guard.
Yeah.
Only he shoots, he could provide tremendous space for Joel Embiid.
Oh, yes, he would.
Although he doesn't play any defense, but I'll score 140.
Yeah, I could live with that. Dave and Audubon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mikey Miss, thank you for taking my call as always.
What's up, Dave?
Not much. I would just like to start off by saying I think Connor looks a bit like Will Wheaton. That's who he reminds me of. I'm not talking about Gordy, an adult Will Wheaton.
I know, I'm getting all kinds of stuff. Like, so he looks like a young Rob McElhaney.
I'm dead.
Yeah, like, there's all kinds of. It's interesting. Connor's bringing out, like, he looks like this guy. He looks like this. He looks like that. I've got like seven people already.
I had to chime in on that. Anyway, regarding Ben Simmons, I couldn't agree with you more. Does the fact that he doesn't even attempt to develop a perimeter jump shot still stick in my craw? Of course it does. But because we all, anybody with a set of eyes who knows anything about basketball knows what that could open up for us. But it's irrelevant to discuss because it's not going to happen. He hasn't done it his whole career. And I seriously doubt with the Sixers in the playoffs as the number one seed that he's going to take that time to decide to work that into his game.
No, not now. This is another off season where we wander. You know, it is getting annoying. But see, here's the thing: I'm on hold because they could win, and at that point, like, you're more tolerant to the weight of it.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as everyone was griping on the three, I gave up on that a long time ago. And held out for maybe to try and develop a perimeter jump shot, but gave up on that. And right now, it's strictly the aggression. The thing that really aggravates me the most is when he hits that, he's driving towards the lane and hits that invisible wall and kicks it back out. I mean, it just drives me up a wall.
Like, I get it. Because, see, here's the thing. Like, who's going to stop him from that distance? Like, all he has to do is get it to the basket.
Exactly.
You know, like, there's, okay, a couple guys can block the shot. He's 6'10". You know, if he's that deep, he's got to be able to score that.
I could not agree with you more.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's go to Gus in Allentown. What's up, Gus?
Yeah, but let me get this straight. Maybe Tyrone can help me out on this. You mean Ben Simmons drives down the lane and then back shovels to a guy who's open for a J three-pointer and goes in? I'm supposed to be angry?
No, you're not supposed to be angry, but the three-pointer is less likely to go in than an eight-footer that he can shoot over somebody.
Depends on the shooter.
No, come on.
Is that, no, it doesn't.
Where did percentages tell you that you're going to make the most shots?
It depends on
it. Any idiot can tell you that an 8-footer is going to be easier than a 25-footer.
If the ball goes in, I'm not angry.
It only goes in less than 40% of the time. That's my point.
If they're scoring 120 points a game, I don't care where the points come from. He's the quarterback of the team. His responsibility is to score points. Let me ask for the team, not for himself. Let me ask you a question. How many times have the Sixers had a 24-second clock violation this year?
I don't know.
Once? They're getting open shots, Mike, consistently. That's the key. Open shots, the ball goes in 40%.
You know what? The ball may go in. However, a lot of those passes he makes are bailout passes where the alternative is better if he just gets it to the basket.
But that's only if he makes the shot, which you don't know.
My point is, it's an 8-footer. It shouldn't be difficult to make. He's 6'10". He's already there.
There's a lot of 8-foot shots in this league that are tougher than open threes.
Eight-footers go in more frequently.
You're not watching the NBA right now. The NBA system is constantly guys have easier shots to the rim, and they throw the ball out for a three-pointer.
Yeah, I get it, Gus, but he does it. He's 6'10", and he does it sometimes to bail out of a preferred shot.
You're assigning motive. I don't care what his motive is. All I care about is the results. 3 points is more than
I'm going to end this call right. Got this question. Percentage-wise, is it easier to make an 8-footer or a 26-footer?
3 points is more than two.
That's not what I asked you.
It depends on who's in the lane. Whose arms are up in the air?
Who is going to block Ben Simmons at 6'10" when he's that deep?
Capella.
One guy? Sometimes Capella's going to be there. Sometimes he's not. He bails out of a shot when Capella's not there.
I'm looking at the overall picture. How many points do they score at the end of the game? And how many? I don't care how many points he gets. As long as the open shooters get their shots, I'm happy.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, you would be not, you know, right. So, you know, Doc Rivers tried to give me that same rationale. It doesn't make any sense. On a bailout pass, it's easier for him to get that ball to the basket to get an easier two than a difficult three. It's just fundamental. Robert, South Carolina, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Robert.
Man, they got you fired up today, don't you? They just yelling at people.
I'm only when people get on my last nerve.
I see, man. That's a tough one. So, real quick, earlier Tyrone was talking about waiting in line for Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, Chick-fil-A has a system that doesn't make 15 feel like 15. So if you're in line at Chick-fil-A, especially down where I'm in South Carolina, if you're where I'm at, the system is so well oiled that you're not going to be in line. You'll get out of your 15, 20 people line at Chick-fil-A quicker than people at McDonald's will get out of their 10 people line. So if you're at Chick-fil-A and you see that many people, go. You're going to get out faster than you think.
Yeah, I'm out.
They just have a great system.
I'm out. I refuse to wait in a 10 car line.
I was in Jersey.
The Pope could have his hand out for me to shake, and I'm not waiting in a 10 car line.
I'm just trying to tell you, Chick-fil-A, they have
a... this Chick-fil-A thing escapes me because I didn't grow up with it. I never knew. There was never a Chick-fil-A where I was near. So I don't get the fascination with the Chick-fil-A, and I certainly ain't waiting in a Chick-fil-A that has 10, 15, 20 cars. I got better things to do with my time. I'll go to something else. Maybe it wouldn't be as delectable as the Chick-fil-A, but I'll still get my belly full of something.
I hear you. I understand. So listen, right. I have to say this. So you guys have to hear me out real quick. So I'm a Hawks fan. However, I will tell you, I listen to your station tons because I'm a diehard Eagles fan. All of my family lives in Philadelphia. Matter of fact, I don't know if you guys remember I called months ago. My dad was in the pokey. You said some crap, and I got to speak to him. He's out now. He's good. He's
good.
Denver.
That's awesome.
He's in Philly. Mm-hmm. But I got a picture of me and him in the vet a long time ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm a diehard Eagles fan. Listen, you guys, I listen to Atlanta sports talk, and I hate to say it, it's boring. They talk about college football.
Well, our man John Kincaid was down there. You were listening to John Kincaid, our morning man?
No.
Wait a minute, you were in Atlanta? You didn't hear of a Kincaid?
Listen,
that's a violation, man.
More. I know
it. No, I get it, but you know, he was in Atlanta Sports Talk Radio for a long time. You never heard of him?
I know who John Kincaid is, but again, they're boring compared to what I get to listen to here. I'm being honest. I like Tyrone. You guys, listen, I like y'all, but here's what I'll tell you. One thing, you made a mistake. Last week, you said in game two, you said Kevin Horner's not going to have this great game. Kevin Horner's probably
going to start. He surprised me.
Here's what I tell you. I wouldn't say Shake Milton saved the game for y'all, but he kept the momentum for y'all. There was a point where the momentum seemed like it was about to shift, and then Shake hits that three before the end of the third or mm-hmm.
It turned the game completely around, but, you know, then the other team still had a chance to dig back in, and they didn't. Which to me was telling.
I agree with that.
All right. So my man Paley's assistant down there in South Carolina with the Chick-fil-A, it's better up here than up here. You buying that?
No. Bean oil's different down there. I don't buy that. No.
Well, it's more buttoned down, he's saying.
No, it's buttoned down here too. The people are less patient here. Down south, man, they got all day down there. They drive slow. I'm dealing with that.
Let me ask you a question. As a man of political means,
yeah,
the Chick-fil-A political thing doesn't bug you?
Well, it does, but the food or in the service
overcomes it.
Like they could probably come forward and say some wild stuff, and I would still occasionally go to the other things. Yeah.
Hmm.
Plus, it's not like some of these other places are all on the up and up. They're just more quiet about it.
All right.
Peel back the onion a little bit. You won't like a lot of places.
Yeah, I'll get a Jones for a fast food every now and then. Yeah, I go where the line is less. Like, if I'm in the mood for a quarter pounder with fries, I really like those fries, right?
They're excellent fries.
But it's not enough to overcome. Like, I'm not waiting 10 cars for them. You know, it's not in my blood. So I can't imagine the Chick-fil-A experience being good enough to like wait for that long.
Oh, it's that much better than the other ones, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, for sure.
It's that much better. It's a much better experience. My pleasure. They will literally check your oil for you. There's nothing better.
They do. They do tire pressure.
They'll do anything.
Windshield fluid.
Much better experience. You get people almost throwing this stuff at you at some of these other places.
Give you a foot rub, everything.
They almost throw it to you like they got an attitude.
Well, of course they have an attitude.
What you got an attitude for?
Well, I don't have
an attitude of Chick-fil-A.
I don't expect to get, white linen cloth service when I go. I just want, I don't care if they're grumpy. It's the food that counts when you got the window.
Nah, if you're throwing, don't throw the fries at me. Come on now. Hand me my bag with a little bit of care.
In a perfect world, I'd love for people to hand deliver it, circa. But I know that people are miserable at working that shift anyway. So.
Well, perfect world exists. It's just 10 cars away.
Yeah, you got to wait.
It's just Chick-fil-A. It's just 10 cars away.
There's nobody happy working in a fast food joint.
They are happy to work. Chick-fil-A.
Smiles.
Smiles. My pleasure. Here's your bag in a nice, orderly fashion with the sauces in a certain spot. You don't really have to even check the bag because you can kind of just peer at it and know, well, everything's in here. Family of 20. Oh, look, right here. All the bags make sense. You're not even sure what McDonald's if you're one person.
Well,
that everything made it into
the bag. That's true. And, you know, and then you'll find out when you're on the road that, you know, I get it. But that's the peril. The way I look at it, that's the peril of trying to get food fast.
See, you know, you're a guy of means. You've done well in your life. Yet you don't want to have a nice meal?
No.
Even if it's fast food, you don't want a nice meal?
When I want to have a nice meal, I'll go get a nice meal. If I'm looking for quick food, the point to me is not to wait for fast food, because fast food is not good enough to wait for 10 cars. I want the food because I'm hungry and I'll take it, but I'm not waiting 10 cars. I'll go somewhere else. I'll pop into a Wawa and grab something. For that, I'm not like going to put my myself out and humiliate myself for a 15-car line to get a Big Mac.
Humiliate yourself?
What's humiliating? You're sitting in the car.
It would be for a Big Mac.
Like I'm in some line in the old Soviet Union waiting for food where you have no choice. I got a choice in life.
Yeah, but I just feel like if you're going to go in a place with the good service, you might as well mix it in.
What?
They got the good
from
service.
From a fast food window?
They have good service.
Good service means that much to you from a fast food window.
Depends on my mood. If I had a rough day, or I'm having a rough day so far, it's nice to have somebody actually be nice to you in life. You never know. People aren't very nice in life.
All right.
People are always kind.
My food taste better because somebody's pleasant when they get
somehow they put more love into it. In addition to the herbs and spices.
You can taste it.
There's some love you can taste in it.
Come on, man.
Makes
there's just no love at McDonald's.
What is this celebrity boxing thing that's going on tonight?
So.
What is this?
So Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom's fighting?
Is fighting Aaron Carter with a special guest referee of former UFC fighter Chuck the Iceman Liddell. It's down in Atlantic City tonight. I'll be watching this.
Is Aaron Carter the younger, troubled one?
Yes.
Okay.
With all the crazy tattoos and stuff. He's boxing Lamar Odom now.
Well, Lamar Odom's got to have a big advantage on him, doesn't
he? But Lamar Odom has had recovery from a drug addiction.
So these are both recovered people fighting each other?
Well, hopefully recovered.
In the recovery bout?
I think this is something I'm...
Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, I skeeved this.
What?
It's also hosted by Ice-T and Coco. I don't know.
You down on iced tea?
No, I'm good with iced tea.
Oh, you good with
I'm good with Ice Cube. What? I'm down on.
Okay. I saw Ice Cube was on the celebrity interview with Dan Rather the other night.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch that because until he gets the platinum plan, I'm all out on all of his stuff until he executes that platinum plan. But Ice Tea and Coco hosting, and then.
And where is this?
Atlantic City. At Boardwalk Hall.
Really? Is that Damon Feldman involved in this?
I don't know.
Yeah, he promotes usually those boxing matches.
Doesn't say that. Uh-huh. The first match on Fox is 8:00, so I'll be watching the Sixers.
How much do you think Lamar Odom is going to bag for fighting that?
Oh, it depends. He'll get a cut of the pay-per-view. My guess is they probably get about like $25,000, and then you get a cut of the pay-per-view. Depends on how many people order.
I guess both these guys box.
Hell no, no. Both these guys didn't box.
No, they don't train like the...
I'm sure they've trained.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No. I'm saying since the fight, I don't think they had trained before this fight was called. Now, why are they fighting? I don't know. I guess just for the attention. But I can tell you...
Well, I mean, they both got nothing else going. So this is a way to get back in the public eye, I guess.
Come on, Lamar. Well, first of all, if Lamar doesn't win, he can't come back outside.
No, he can't lose Aaron Carter.
You lose the Aaron Carter.
That's a lot of pressure.
Like, you got to eat. Like, that's a tough fight.
That's a must-win situation.
Not only win, he can't win by decision. He's got to knock him out, or people going to clown Lamar.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight somebody closer to your size.
That's kind of taking a risk. He must be very confident. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Coming in the home stretch of a Friday show, Mike Missinelli Show after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Can I get an encore?
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The Sean Kincaid Show.
The line is an Atlanta line, in my opinion, but my gut says it's not going to matter.
Vegas is basically saying Atlanta's going to win this game tonight.
That's kind of the vibe I got. But my gut says Sixers handle.
Anthony Gargano.
I don't see the Hawks winning. I'm sorry. I don't. I think the Sixers win tonight, and then I think they start to flex, and I just think they could steamroll. Now, again, we got to say it, but that's my gut heading into the game today.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I like the Sixers tonight. I like the energy. I think Shake Milton learned a little something in that last game, so hopefully he carries on. And I think Ben Simmons is going to be much more aggressive offensively. I can't see him not being much more aggressive.
Listen all day, every day, to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Well, apparently Bob Kennedy and Jamie Lynch don't get the line thing either. It's not an Atlanta line. Yeah, the fella's got to get school a little more. Sorry.
Yeah, well, he'll be coming up on the draft line show after this, Jamie.
Okay, all right. Well, there you go. So it's now time for our final numbers, our Twitter poll. Connor Thomas with us today. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with Safe Contactless Pickup in Doylestown. All right, Connor, what's the final number say?
Thanks, Mike. Again, our Twitter poll of the day today is people can disagree on what Ben Simmons needs to do offensively to win. What will Ben do tonight versus the Hawks? With just over 900 votes, our winner at 67.5% of the vote is attack the rim more. And last place is remain hesitant to shoot with 32.5%.
All righty. We'll see what happens tonight. I'm counting on you, Ben. Listen, I bet it. I never do this individual bet. I bet it tonight. Don't let me down. I'm not going to be happy Monday.
He's not going to let you down.
All right. By the way, quickly before we get back to phones, have you noticed that the like of dining outside has applied even when the restaurant place is borders a busy road?
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. People sitting outside no matter what.
Like, yep. I don't get that. Here's an intersection, going like this. And so they just put some tables outside the place. And people, they don't notice the noise. Like, how pleasant could that be?
I still enjoy outside.
You do?
Yep. That was one thing I thought before the pandemic ever started. There should be more options to sit outside.
I like to sit outside, too. I like it to be tucked away a little bit. Like, on a street corner, I don't know what the merit of that is, but people seem to ignore.
Well, all from Philly, most of the cities are busy.
Yeah, but they're slow. That's slow roads. I'm talking about like when you're zooming through, you know, there's a red light intersection. You can't go fast in the city. You kind of creep along.
Now there's plenty of places where you can.
Yeah, but the city is the city, so you're in the city. Like, I'm talking about suburban joints.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. Yeah. There's one place right by Route 130, cars go by, still like that outside. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got no issue with it. It's nice. Nice little ambiance. Unless you get a car with a spoiler going by that's loud for no reason.
I like it to be like around the corner, maybe.
Yeah, you know,
just around the corner. Where
everybody's different. Yeah,
it doesn't. Hear the car. Because I do like the outdoor thing. I just, you know, if it's too busy with the cars, you know, I can't ignore that.
Yeah, I tune that right out after about,
You get your app? When you get your Bang Bang Shrimp?
Yeah.
Tune that right out?
Yeah, I'm going.
All right, Brian in Westchester. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Congratulations to the happy couple. Carson Wentz, Indianapolis Colts quarterback, expecting a child with his wife.
Yeah, number two on the way. And apparently that played a role in why he picked number two.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because he already knew.
Oh.
They just didn't announce it, obviously, the baby, because you wait a certain amount of time. Oh, yeah, so now the whole family's got two jerseys and the little big sis with the two on it, and yeah, it's a whole
thing. Happens when kid number three comes?
Maybe they're not having three. Maybe they know.
Huh. All right, let's go, Brian in Westchester. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, Brian?
Not bad. First, I'm going to say I'm the lucky winner of that nine and dine with Mike.
Oh, nice.
And, yes, I'm. Me and my buddies are super excited.
Fantastic. Maybe we can play more than nine that day.
I hope so.
maybe we can squeeze 18 in. Oh, it's a euphemism.
Just a euphemism. Because nine and dime. Nine and dime. Yeah, they rhyme.
Okay.
That's
so we don't have to walk it off the course and
you'll play 18.
Okay, cool.
Perfect. But I want to thank you for that. And then you already answered my question tonight with the line. I guess you're saying this is a Sixers line.
Yeah, when it popped out. Coming off this game two, Sixers 1.5 in that place where Atlanta has won 13 straight games. To me, that's a Sixer line.
Yeah, I think last game there were six at home. So, yeah, I didn't know how that equated being down there.
Yeah, I found it really interesting that the Sixers would be posted as a favorite of any substance in that place. Like, you know, I expected the best it would be is a pick 'em, but the Sixers being favored slightly is a lean to the Sixers.
Got you. Well, should be a good one. You think they're going to do anything with Trae Young to try to get him going?
Atlanta? Yeah, they'll probably adjust. Doc's got to readjust. We'll see what Nate does to free him up tonight. It's always a chess match. That's why, you know, good coaches in the playoffs has to adjust.
We'll see.
All right, buddy. I look forward to playing. Where are we playing, by the way, Brian?
Good question. I don't think it.
It's not. It hasn't been determined yet. Okay. We'll have fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, brother. Sounds good. We don't know where we're playing yet. Was that charity item?
I think they did. I just don't know where it was.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't keep track of all the items. I just
look forward to it.
Looked forward to my two items.
What are you doing?
I'm going to Topgolf with the folks, and I'm going up to Pocono Raceway to do the racing experience.
That's right.
As well.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about that with our program director. That's going to be fun for you, man.
Yeah, and the Topgolf, somebody pays some nice money, so we'll go out there, Topgolf, have a good time.
And then you've been working on the game.
Well, I was, and then the Sixers thing got a little busy, so I got to get back.
But you're a Topgolf veteran.
Oh, yeah, Topgolf. Yeah, I know that place.
Okay.
We're going to have a good time.
All right, Lou in Harrisburg. What's up, Lou?
You guys were proposing straight up trades for Ben Simmons earlier. I was wondering if you guys would pull the trigger on a Klay Thompson straight up.
Who Thompson? Who?
Klay.
No, not at this stage. No way.
Okay.
Yeah. No. No. Somebody brought up Ja Morant or Zion. I wouldn't do that. But definitely not Klay Thompson, though.
Okay, that was the question. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, that was it. All right. Yeah, not Klay. I mean, that's an iffy proposition at this point. Let's go to Jeff in Cherry Hill. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Mike, what's happening, man?
What's up, Jeff?
Another day in paradise, brother. I remember last time I talked to you was a couple years ago. And when I moved to Florida, you may remember that.
Yes.
But I am back. I'm back where I belong.
Oh, you're back in Cherry Hill.
I'm back on the saddle.
Okay.
Hey, man, first of all, I want to congrats to you. I know you weren't on TV, so kudos to you. That's a big, you're balling now, big time. I support you. But I want to get to the good stuff, all right?
Okay.
I'm pretty salty about Joel Embiid not being MVP. What do you think about that?
There were a lot of people thought he should have gotten it. I don't know. I can't argue with it because of the time missed. I can argue with the Ben thing.
But
I think that's outrageous.
Jokic? Like, the guy, I mean, torn meniscus, Mike.
He missed the best
point in his career.
Yeah, like, but the voting is before the playoffs. So he missed 22 games. I mean, if I'm a voter, that's significant. So I don't have a problem with the miss of the MVP because Jokic had a great year. Well, like I said, the Ben thing, it doesn't make any sense to me. The Gobert getting over Ben.
All right, I just want to see what your thoughts were because, you know, I think, you know, being, you know, the best team, I thought it goes to the best team in the NBA, but the Nuggets aren't the best team, you know?
Well, so he held them together when they lost to probably, you know, their second best player, obviously.
Exactly, and look at them now.
Well, yeah, I get it, but it's the regular season is what the MVP is about.
I just don't, you know what? I think people don't like us. Back to Jason Kelce. Nobody likes us and nobody, we don't care.
Yeah, I try not to get too involved in that. I know people think that, but and maybe there's a little bit of truth to it. But like I say, I think you can make an argument that Jokic gets it over Embiid.
All I care, you know what, though, Mike, is we just got to win this chip. That's it, you know? So
hey, how you feeling about that?
It feels good, Mike. It feels, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I agree about the Ben Simmons saga. I'm on the same boat as you, but this, you know, we got a lot of good players, you know.
All right. You're feeling good about it. I like it. Alex, South Philly. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing, bud?
I want to talk about the game tonight, but real quick, just about this MVP thing. For everyone who's sad that he didn't win the MVP, don't be sad. He's going to win the finals MVP, and he's going to dedicate it to the Joker who won the regular season award.
Listen, if it gave him incentive, I'm okay with that. You know, he's going to be an MVP somewhere along the line, I think, right?
And you're right. It is a regular season award. But when I was watching game two, watching him do that turnaround fadeaway jumper, I'm like, how is this man not the MVP? Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, the games mount up where you missed it. You missed games.
Yep, that is true. Anyway, for tonight, all I care about, I trust the players to be who they are. I trust the coaching staff to put them in a winning position. All I care about is that they don't lose that locked-in mentality. That's what they need, because they came out with it in game two, but then they kind of took their foot off the gas and Shake bailed them out. They need that four quarters tonight. I just want them locked in.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to be, I think. It's going to be a close game and a tough place to play with a team that's going to feel a little more confident at home. So they're going to have to defend.
They definitely will have to defend. Hopefully Ben doesn't pick up some cheap fouls on Trey, but Sixers are going to the finals, baby. Joel Embiid, finals MVP.
All right. Sounds good. There you go. That's a good way to close the show as we lead into tonight's game. So we'll take our final break, and on the other side, we got Sound Off coming your way on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.